This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run.
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White.
He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. McCoy, touch to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show with Donald Jones. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive on this Thursday afternoon, February 15th. Hope everybody survived Valentine's Day. I broke down, Donald. I went to Wegmans late yesterday. You walk into Wegmans, entire flower display there.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know, I had to get flowers for my wife. I had to. I mean, it would have been bad to walk by and just say, yes, I know it's Valentine's Day.
So they
no.
It made you feel guilty.
It was guilt. It was, yeah. And believe me, Wegmans knows what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of research goes into
where to put them. I walked in to get two or three things, and I was assaulted by flowers as soon as I walked in the door. I actually walked by him, thought for like 10 seconds, turned around and went back and said, I got to do something.
Is it a certain type of flower that?
You know? I went for the cheapest. Because yeah. My wife told me, don't get me flowers, you know, and I said, okay, I won't, but I did. But, I got dragged into it. Tremendous marketing by the folks at Wegmans, I guess.
Yeah, right? You know, that's how they do, you know. They do so much market and research, you'll walk in, they know. You walk in, you look to your left, I don't really want that. You look to your right. That means you want that.
If they had not put those flowers up front, I would have not done anything.
You wouldn't have done anything.
Nope.
Just went home.
Yep. Now, I would have got what I needed and went on my way.
How many people you think walked in there and felt the same guilt that you felt?
A lot. I looked around. Everybody was grabbing flowers. And this is like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Valentine's
yeah.
Day. This was late.
Everybody's on their way home.
Yeah.
Let me stop at Wegmans on the way home. Not for groceries. Let me just go get some flowers.
It was crazy. Anyway. There it was, and I succumbed, even though we kind of badmouthed Valentine's Day yesterday. Not here to talk about Valentine's Day. No. We're here to talk about the Bills and the NFL. John Murphy and Donald Jones here for the next 3 hours from noon until 3. And as we mentioned yesterday, we're just about a month away from free agency, the beginning of free agency. So we'll continue kind of our focus on free agency. The guest lineup today, our man Lorenzo Alexander is going to join us at the bottom of this hour for a few minutes. Lorenzo has some experience moving around the league as a free agent, obviously, and we'll talk to him about that experience. And he would know what it's like, I would think, to wait for a while to get a free agent offer. You know, he's probably been highly sought after at times and had to wait deep into free agency at other times, right? He'll have some stories.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who's been a journeyman. He's a guy who has played a bunch of different positions, you know. So with that being in mind, and a guy who's been really a special teamer. When you're a special teamer, you don't really know if another team – now, you know that teams really put a high value on special teams, and that's a great thing. And when you play special teams, it can keep you in the league for a long time. But when you're a special teamer, you're not typically a guy going off the free agent market, the free agent board, the first day of free agency.
Right.
You might wait a few days, even a few weeks, you know, and then a team will pick you up. So it's a tough way to live, but it will keep you around.
We'll talk to Lorenzo about that, the free agent experience from – the player's standpoint. Tell me your story again. When were you released by the Bills, and when were you out on the market? Was it? It wasn't during the spring free agency period necessarily, was it? Wasn't it summertime?
No, it was right before free agency hit.
Oh, it was. Okay.
It was like right around this time when the new coaches, who was Doug Marrone at the time, they all came in and they were evaluating the team, and then they decided that. And I was going through the whole thing with the health and my doctors. And so the training staff here, we're going back and forth, and I had to get certain letters from my doctors saying that I could still play and all of that stuff. But ultimately, the doctors here weren't comfortable with it, so they decided, we have to move in another direction.
Okay.
Yeah, it was somewhere around this time right now.
Right around now, before free agency hit.
Before free agency.
So you got a little jump on the market.
I did. So then once that happened, I still had to go see my doctors down in New York City and all of that stuff. But then once free agency opened up, I got a lot of calls. You know, and I had a lot of calls, and so I decided to go to visit certain teams, and that was when I ended up in Tennessee.
Talk about the free agency experience with Lorenzo Alexander. 1 o'clock, the man with all the numbers, Mike Jannetty from SpotTrack.com. Are you familiar with this website, SpotTrack.com? He's got contract information for NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, soccer, NBA. He's got contract information, but especially when it comes to the NFL, he is the man with reliable figures and comparison points. And as we approach free agency a month from now, we thought it was important to get Mike Janitti in here to kind of give us a clue to the landscape around the Bill about the Bills and the rest of the NFL.
Does he do coaches as well?
I don't know if he does coaches' salaries. That's a good point.
Let's ask him. Yeah, we'll ask him when he gets in. But yeah, he can give you answers to really any contract in sports, whatever it is, you know. And it's an amazing thing. It's a lot of numbers. He sent our producer Jay over some numbers last night, and you thought Jay actually did the man work for that one, but no, that was Mike Janitti on that one. Jay didn't do anything.
Man work.
That's all.
Jay,
same.
Jay's not.
It's all the same
man
difference.
Work.
Jay's not doing the man work. But Jay,
you don't send a boy to do a man's
all
job.
Jay did was send a text message and got all of this back, and then he put his name at the top, Jay Harris. And then when you came in, you thought it was Jay.
Look at all the work. No, that was Mike.
He paused before he told you.
Oh, he was thinking about, yeah.
He was thinking about just taking credit for it.
Yeah.
He paused before he told you. He looked at me, looked back at his computer, and then he turned back around like, no, Mike did that.
Mike Janitti did the work. Mike Janitti does the work. He'll be joining us in studio at 1 o'clock. Off-season cap questions for the Buffalo Bills. It's a post that he put up on SpotTrack.com on his blog that he has up there. He doesn't just crunch numbers and he goes through some of the interesting cases on the Bills' current roster and what their contracts mean as free agency approaches. We are going to deal with the position groups as we go day by day. Today it's defensive line day. The Bills have some interesting decisions to make, most notably about Kyle Williams, but some others as well. And we'll talk about that during the course of the day today. Basically what they have, what they need, what you might do if you were the Buffalo Bills when it comes to free agents or even drafting a defensive lineman. That's coming up on the show today. Plus a lot more. We're happy to be with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon. John Murphy and Donald Jones. The phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Outside Buffalo, it's a toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. For the purposes of discussion to get things going with free agency a month away, our Twitter poll deals with that and the Bills' approach to free agency, what you think it should be, how they should approach upcoming free agency. On Twitter, our Twitter poll, according to SpotTrack, Mike Janitti's website, the Buffalo Bills have $29.3 million in cap space for 2018. Simple question. Should the Bills make a big splash in free agency? With the money they have, $29.3 million in salary cap money, should they make a big splash this year in free agency? Let us know what you think. The lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-552-550. $29.3 million puts them right smack dab in the middle of the NFL. 16th most cap space in the NFL. They have $18.6 million of dead cap money, according to Mike Janitti. Now, all of that could change depending on the moves they make. But knowing what you know about the Bills, should they be big players when free agency opens in a month or so? $29.3 million, 16th most in the NFL, $18.6 million most in the NFL in terms of dead cap. On offense, they've got 59.5% of their cap allocation going to offense. The bulk of that on the offensive line. 26% of their cap money goes to the offensive line. That's fifth highest in the NFL. 11% of their cap money goes to quarterback. That's 16th in the National Football League. Running back, 6% of their cap space. That's 7th. Wide receiver, 8.9%. That's 23rd ranked in the NFL. That makes sense, knowing what we know about their wide receiving core and the moves they made last year. Defense, 10% of their cap space goes to the defensive line. That's towards the bottom of the NFL. Linebacker, don't have linebacker up there, but it's part of the other 14%. Right. Defensive back, 9.6%, 26th in the NFL, goes to defensive backfield. So most of their money tied up on offense. A quarter of their money tied up on the offensive line. That's Eric Wood. That's Richie Incognito, most notably up there. Just 11% goes to quarterback. I think, as we said, 16th in the NFL. So half the team spend more than that on their quarterback, and the other half spend less than that. But with all that knowledge and all the knowledge that Mike Janitti would impart to us, what do you think? What should the Bills do in free agency? Should they make a big splash? I mean, is there one player they should really go after? Let us know what you think. The line's open, 803-0550. Toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-552-550. On Twitter, 52% of you say no, no big splash. 48% say yes, go ahead and make a big splash. If you feel that way, let us know who you think it should be. I mean, if you're going to make a big splash in free agency, you probably have somebody in mind. I don't know who it would be. Are you thinking Kirk Cousins, perhaps? I'm trying to think who else people might want in free agency that would qualify as a big splash. I don't anticipate a big splash signing coming up in free agency, Donald. We were talking earlier this morning, you and I and our producer Jay Harris, kind of reliving how it went down last year. They made early signings last year, right? Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, just a day or two into free agency. Steven Hauschka was early into free agency. Tolbert and DeMarco, I think, were the first weekend after free agency opened, a couple of days after it opened. None of them would qualify, I don't think, as big splash signings, but they were all early signings. You have to – we're trying to read through the strategy from last year. You'd have to say those were probably targeted signings in free agency.
Yeah, they were targeted. I think Micah Hyde was a guy that everybody – most NFL fans would know. He had made some big plays out there in Green Bay, so he got, the biggest contract, but it wasn't break-the-bank type of money. It's good money for a safety position. You had Steven Hauschka who came over, and he got some good money for a kicker as well. Other than that, I mean, you didn't have really big splash free agent signings, and I think that is intentional. By last year, it was Doug Whaley and it wasn't Doug Whaley because Doug was right. Yeah, it was Doug.
Free agency,
because he
sure
was right after the draft. Yeah, so it was Doug Whaley and Sean McDermott. I think Brandon Bean, his mindset will be somewhat of the same way. You know, you don't have to make the big splash free agent signings. And I always look around teams that typically win in this league, and you can put the Eagles in this because the Eagles didn't make big splash free agent signings last year either. But you look at the Patriots, normally last year was a little different, an anomaly for them. The Packers, Steelers, those teams that are typically right around the playoffs, they're not the ones that are bringing guys in through free agency unless they feel like we are this one player away. That's the one piece of the puzzle that we need, and if we can get this guy in there, he can really solidify this team and put us in playoff contention and Super Bowl contention. Other than that, those teams don't typically spend that much money in free agency. They're very quiet in free agency, and I think Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean now will have that mentality and not be trying to sign those guys on the first day. They will wait because you can find good guys a week later. You truly can. Guys that will still be able to come in and produce for your team. The thing is, when you pay these guys in free agency, you talk about those big splash free agents, unless it's a quarterback. That's one thing. But everybody else, you never know what you're going to get from those guys because – that player, for the most part, has been working his entire career to get this payday. And now when I got this payday, I mean, I love football, and I'm going to still play football, and I'm going to have fun. But some of those times, these guys are skating through it now,
right?
You know,
yep.
And things change with them because they got the money in their pockets. That's why they're trying to get that guaranteed money. They got it now. So I think you need to continuously – try to find guys who still want to get that big payday. That's why they want to build through the draft. That's why they will wait a few weeks, and then sign guys because those guys have been trying to get that big payday. Well, now I still got to prove it.
I guess my thought is, based on the way they handled it last year and based on what I think is the right way to do it, I would not be surprised if the Bills make early signings in free agency first few days. But I don't think there'll be big splash signings based on last year, right? I think, like last year, they probably have already, or in the process anyway, over the next month or so, of targeting guys who they think are a good fit here, both in terms of on-field and off-the-field. Culture, yes. Respecting the process, yes. They're probably doing a lot of homework on that these days right now and targeting some people who they know they want, a la Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer. I mean, Jordan, you were on to Jordan Poyer a year ago.
I was. That's right. On record.
And nobody else really was. It was a guy from the Browns who, got hurt at midseason last year.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills were in desperate need of a safety. I don't know that we considered him a bona fide candidate to jump in the starting lineup.
Not at all.
But what did you know about Jordan Poyer? No, be honest. I know.
Be honest?
You're happy to crow about it. But was it just pure dumb luck, or did you really have something in mind?
I didn't really have anything in mind. I truly
good
didn't.
For you. You're very honest.
I looked at some game film of him playing and said, okay, he can actually make some plays. But it wasn't like I was like, man, this dude is really, really good. Right. To be honest with you, I was going off. He and Micah Hyde had a previous relationship. You know, not that they played together, but they had a relationship, and they had talked about that when they got signed here. And I was just saying, I think those guys will work well together. And that's a huge thing when you're talking about safeties on the back end. As we saw this year, as we, Leslie Frazier talked about it, those guys know when to rotate and all of that stuff. They were able to come in here, totally revamped secondary, and they were able to come in here and really play well together. So I was just going off of, because they had that prior relationship, whatever it was, they would be able to gel together and be able to really work the back end of that defense.
And it worked. And maybe the Bills have something like that in mind now. You know, maybe there's a defensive lineman we don't know about. Maybe there's a linebacker we barely heard of. I don't know if you get, we're going to hear, we probably have heard of all the quarterbacks, but I'm anticipating they will have maybe early moves, but targeted moves, not big splash moves. You may feel differently, and maybe you have advice for the Bills on how to approach free agency a month hence. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll free 1-888-552-550. You can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Donald and I are here for the next 3 hours. A couple of tweets. Chris Pearson tweets in, how will you guys follow up yesterday's show? It really made me think heavy about all the scenarios for the Bills offseason. Great show. Just thought I'd start with that tweet. Yeah, that's a feel-good tweet. Great show.
That was a feel-good. That was,
oh, I love to hear that. Yeah. We're starting with that tweet today. Darn it. No, I mean, that's what we're trying to do. Rather than knee-jerk, get a quarterback, you know, we want you to think a little bit about where the Bills are, what the money ramifications are, the players they have. That's why we're going through position by position, as a matter of fact. The players they have, what they can do, you know, the whole picture in personnel this offseason. And we want to hear from you. Fitz tweets in, need to fill the holes and then fill through the draft. 29 opens up lots of cap space. That's a good point, too, from Fitz. I want to get into that with Jannetty. What is next year's cap look like?
Is that D. Fitz?
That's Fitz. It's just Fitz.
Just Fitz.
What does next year's cap look like for the Bills? You know, nobody,
I think,
you know,
it's supposed to be a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a lot more.
And maybe, you know, you do your work this year and fill some holes and make the big splash next year. Just saying. Osterreicher tweets in, building is about going step by step with small bricks, not a huge one. You cannot do anything with that, and it collapses the whole construction when it goes down. Great stuff, guys. France says hi. And Lead the Stampede tweets in. Yeah, he's from France. They need to. We have many holes that need filling. Can't do it all in the draft. Please, Bills, give us some excitement during the long offseason. Love to see them go after a big-time undrafted or unrestricted free agent like Star Lotulelei, Dontari Poe, or Logan, and maybe a linebacker like Bradham. He's going to get paid. I think sometimes, and I'm not finding fault with this. Well, I guess I am. I think sometimes fans are just looking to be entertained when free agency opens.
It's entertainment.
Do something. Show me something. You're my team. Bills, do something. I want to see the Bills making the big news on ESPN this week, free agency week. Bills didn't make big news last year when they signed Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer and Steven Hauschka and the rest of them, right?
I mean,
nobody, you know, stopped the presses. The Bills have signed Jordan Poyer. No. But they were good, solid signings. And I think fans have to kind of avoid the temptation to look for the big splash just to be entertained and for the team to sign somebody that you've heard of and kind of be a little bit patient. Who are these people, and how do they fit into the picture?
Coach McDermott, he always talks about the culture and changing the culture here. And people always feel like we're talking about in the building, just the team, just the organization. But he's talking about the city, changing the culture of the city, the mindset of the city. For a long time, people here have gotten used to big splash free agent signings. You know, the Mario Williams, guys like that who get $100 million, and you're so excited about what this person has done in the past. Man, he's going to be great. T.O. when he came over here. You know, the people have gotten so used to those big names, and what happens? It doesn't pan out the way you want it to pan out.
Right.
So I think you have to – there's going to be a learning curve, I guess I would use that term, a learning curve or just a mindset change of, I don't think this team is going to get into the business of big splash free agents. You brought up what the whoever that was on Twitter brought up, you know, what is the cap space next year? It opens up a lot more next year, but I still don't think they're going to go out and just spend crazy money to bring free agents in here. I think they would like to keep that money. They don't want to just go out and spend it just because you had it. The Jets did that. They had all of this cap space, and they went out and just paid everybody. And it still didn't work out for them. You know, you don't want to do that. You want to – you really want to have a lot of money to work with.
You want to have a plan.
You do want to have a plan.
That's what you want.
You want to have a plan. And I think their plan is to build through the draft. You get a couple of pieces, key pieces, that you don't have to pay a crazy amount of money. and then you build everybody else throughout the draft. And then that way, once you do end up a playoff contending team every year, you don't have that many guys leaving every single year.
You know what? It is fun when your team is in the market for a big-ticket free agent. Mario Williams, now it's 6 years ago. That was fun when free agency opened, 2012. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2012 to 2011.
11, yeah.
And that was fun. That was fun that the Bills were in pursuit of a former first overall pick, big-name guy, seemed to fill a need. It was fun. The drama about will he sign, will he not sign, what's going to happen here. Were you on the roster?
I was on the roster,
yeah. That was fun for the Bills and their fans. Mario's a pretty decent player, but when it's all said and done, was he worth all that money and all that hype that went on? I don't know. he was a pretty good player here for the Bills, productive for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But the hype sort of blinded a lot of us, I'll plead guilty to this, to actually what the contributions might be from him. He made contributions, but they nowhere were commensurate with all the hype, all
you
the build-up.
You couldn't say year in, year out, man, this dude is.
Was he a difference maker is what I'm saying.
Right. You couldn't say that every year.
No.
You couldn't say that. What you could say is that dude is making a lot of money. That's what you could say about Mario Williams.
Yeah. You know, and you could say that Bills team is getting a lot of attention for pursuing Mario Williams because they did that week.
Right, right. I think you want to have guys, and there are going to be some guys that you got to pay, right? But those, you have to know that guy – no matter how much money they have in the bank, they love to play this game. It doesn't matter. I just got paid $40 million guaranteed, but I love to play the sport of football. I'm still going to work the same way I did as when I first came into this thing, undrafted or a seventh rounder or whatever the case may be. I've been working towards this big payday. Now I got it, but I still want to work because I want to be the best. I want this team to win. And a lot of times you pay these guys – and they're like, I just got paid. You know, I'm good now. Yeah. I got paid. I got my money. And that's it's unfortunate, but you put your body through so much to play this game, and you hurt. Are you throwing stuff at me?
No, I dropped something. I'm sorry.
Murph is throwing stuff at me on set.
I've distracted you. I've ruined your training.
You put your body through so much when you're growing up. And when you're young, you think about, man, one day I'm going to make all of this money because I'm good at this sport. And then you work so hard to get here. And when you get here, unless you're a first rounder or somebody high or something like that, even now with the new CBA, you still don't get that big, big payday. So you're working every single year to get that payday. And then when you get it, it's like, yes, I finally got that. And some guys will, at that point, just ride off into the sunset. They're just cruising through these seasons just so that they can say, oh, I ended up playing 9-10 seasons in the league.
Yeah. Free agency opens about a month from now. Want to know from you, should the Bills make a big splash? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. We've got Matt on the line from beautiful Canandaigua, New York. Hello, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Hey. Hi, guys. So I think as for free agency, if Buffalo is going to go after a big splash name guy, it should be Kirk Cousins. Quarterback is the only position where I think it's okay to take a risk with the amount of money these big splash players want. But the coaching staff needs to want to do it. They need to know this is our guy. He's going to fit our scheme, et cetera. Otherwise, I don't think it's worth the risk. I like Starlatulele and Dartarius Poe. I don't think they're going to get the right kind of money. I'll listen to you guys. Have a good one.
All right, thanks, Matt. Matt got in a hurry here at the end. Yeah, I mean, the biggest splash, I guess, would be Kirk Cousins. Is Kirk Cousins a fit here? I think that's debatable. Is that the kind of quarterback the Bills want to build around? I mean, if you're going to make that move and acquire Kirk Cousins in free agency, with the money that will require, he is your franchise quarterback, for better or worse, for the next 4 years, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you're stuck with him. Does anybody feel that good about Kirk Cousins? I don't.
I don't. There's a reason Washington doesn't. I mean, they do some really questionable things, but there's a reason why they let him out the building. I'm sorry. If he was your franchise, as questionable the decisions that they've made over the years, if they felt like, man, this dude can really be our franchise quarterback, then they would have paid him the money. You don't let your franchise guys go. I'm sorry. You just don't. You figure out a way to work it out with those guys. You don't continue to franchise them, then franchise them again. No. If you got to break the bank open and back up the Brinks truck, and that's what you got to do because that position is so important. So, for me, yeah, Kirk Cousins has produced. Who knows? He might end up – then they brought over Alex Smith, which is like, That's like the same player to me. I mean, Alex Smith has been productive in his career. He still hasn't won the big game. Kirk Cousins has been productive in his career. He still hasn't won the big game, you know. So I don't know about that whole decision, and I don't know why they let Kirk Cousins out the building. But he's going to get paid somewhere just because of the production.
Just call from John in Rochester. Go ahead, John. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
How you doing?
Good.
As far as what the Bills should do, I think they should trade for Foley from Philadelphia for Cody Glenn. They need a left tackle very badly right now.
Well, they're going to have Jason Peters back.
I don't think they're going to want to pay whatever costs to get a premium left tackle. We may have to throw in some draft choices. But other than that, sign our own. Let them pick up someone that they like in the lower grades. But get a middle linebacker and a defensive tackle, and after that, whatever the draft allows.
Okay. Foles is not likely to shake loose from Philadelphia.
I just don't see it. I would love for him to be here. I would. I think he could win you some games. Even if you traded for him and still drafted one, he could be your quarterback for the next 5 years and get your team to the playoffs and be consistent, if in the right system. I don't know what happened in L.A. with him. It was really Jeff Fisher is really what happened. He's the quarterback killer. But I mean, this dude had Nick Foles, Case Keenum, and Jared Goff on the roster, on his roster, and none of them were good with him. And then as soon as he's gone, Jared Goff has a great season. Nick Foles has what he did in the Super Bowl run and all of that stuff. And Case Keenum had a great season. I don't know what the deal is with him.
Quarterback killer.
He's a quarterback killer. But, yeah, I don't see them letting him go just because of the injury with Carson Wentz. And when it happened, you don't know if he's going to be truly ready. And he's a guy who likes to play with his mobility and all of that stuff. I just don't see him getting loose.
It is a big splash in the offing for the Buffalo Bills in free agency when it opens up a month from now. Give us your thoughts on that. Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter, vote in our Twitter poll, or weigh in on Twitter. Let's talk about it. Free agency is a month away. Do you think the Bills are going to be major players and make big news when free agency opens? We'll continue that discussion when we come back. We've got phone lines open. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Season tickets available for the Buffalo Bills. That opened up about a week ago, and they're available now. You can reserve club seats by going to the website, buffalobills.com/tickets. And club seats, they're rebuilding the entire club seat area this year. It's going to be they're getting totally renovated this year. You may want to look at that. If you want non-club seats, you have to use the phone, 877-BB-TICKS. All kinds of benefits of being a season ticket member. Invitations to exclusive events, Bills Bucks, access to the NFL Red Zone and Game Pass. Season tickets available now. They tell me they're going pretty well, too. Go to buffalobills.com/tickets or call them up, 1-877-BB-TICKS for your 2018 Bills season tickets. John Murphy, Donald Jones, back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. Lorenzo Alexander coming up next on the show. Come on back for that.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
John Murphy, Donald Jones. Joining us in studio, Lorenzo Alexander, the Thursday edition of the Lowdown. We don't even play the music anymore. We don't have a Lowdown, really. But
no, I'm part of the show now.
You're part of the...
Yeah, that's more of an in-season thing. I think they just save it for in-season Fridays. Right. You know, it's special heart, you know, placing our heart for that on Thursdays, on Fridays.
Right. No, you're part of the atmosphere here now. We love to have you in here and doing the show.
Yeah, me and Donald was on last week.
I heard it was a lot of fun.
It was.
Yeah, we went back and forth.
Yeah, I had my brother on. It was great. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Where did he sign? He committed
to Fresno State.
Excellent. You good with that?
Yeah, I mean, he's there with my old head coach, Jeff Tefford, who I had when I was at Cal. And it's going to be a good fit for him. Back on the West Coast, closer to home, which is, I think, huge for him. He doesn't like the East Coast weather. And then you get to see your parents and your friends. It's just more conducive of being happy while you're at school.
Right.
That's important.
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, when I transferred to Youngstown, I wanted to transfer out of there. I was like, I can't do it.
Out of Youngstown.
What? I was like, this is not what's up. I didn't like the city. I didn't like my coach. And your coach really plays a big part in you being happy or unhappy, you know. And I wanted to transfer. I ended up staying, and I ended up in NFL. But
well,
there are so many kids, though, that just end up transferring because they're not happy or – because they recruit somebody else and that person comes in and starts over you, all of that stuff.
It's a business at that level too. Yeah, so, yeah.
What convinced you to stick it out at Youngstown?
One of my uncles was like, "Nah, man, stay there and work through it."
Yeah,
you know,
wouldn't all allow him to be soft. You know, Donald's naturally soft minded.
Here we go.
And that's why it takes great men around you. This is a good key point to talk about. That's why young folks at home, you need to have a great network of people around you that really care for you and really going to love you, and not just be yes men and going to feed into you. So
and women,
yeah. Men and women, yes. Mm-hmm. So we need those people in our lives to make us stick things out, because
still,
you know, people
stuff.
Are just, yeah, I know. It's all right. We're not gonna go on talk about that. We finish it on you now.
All right, but look,
thank you. What's his name? What's your uncle's name?
This is a long way of saying it takes a village to raise people, right?
I mean, that's, and you're soft minded.
What?
Naturally.
No. That
but
is
that's
false.
Great. You needed your uncle.
Maybe
to
then.
In.
Maybe then.
Right.
But not now.
Okay. But what's his name? I just want to know. Give him a shout
Mark.
Out.
My
All
Uncle
right,
Mark.
Give him a shout out. Yeah, Uncle Mark, we appreciate
Mark
you hard looks, and toughening huh? up.
And now he's calling me on advice. He called me early on advice about a car.
So advice or money?
No, not money. He makes his own money. He does well.
I'm messing with you, man.
But he called me on advice about a car. Okay, but yeah, I mean, you know, imagine. We do usually one segment with Lorenzo. We go back and forth. We went back and forth at each other almost the entire show. It was like almost every segment. Now, we had our segments where we just talked, but there was at least one point almost in every segment where he says something or I say something slick, you know, and then we go back and forth. Then we get back to it.
Right.
Let's see.
We're good. We got to talk about some stuff
going on.
Substance here. Lorenzo's in studio with us for a few minutes here. You're welcome to join the conversation at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Lorenzo, you like Cal right from the start, all the time, for all 4 years? It was close to home?
Yeah, it was close to home. That wasn't my number one choice. I actually wanted to go to Stanford. It was Stanford, UCLA, Oregon, Cal. I had Miami and a couple of other SEC schools, but I wasn't going to go that far away from home. My big thing was academics as well as education, as well as football. And obviously, if you have a chance to go to Stanford, You know, I even hate to say this because I'm a Cal guy, but that is like a Harvard. Harvard, MIT,
that's the West Coast,
caliber of school. And they were good in football at the time, too. Sure. And they still had a pretty good program today. But I didn't get in academically. That's one of the few schools you actually have to apply to as a student athlete to actually go through a regular admissions. And I didn't get in. I had like a 3-4 my sophomore year, and it was like, oh, that's too low. So I ended up going to Cal, which is – great school, and actually worked out. Yeah,
as well.
It's number one public university in the country. You know, it normally ranks up there in the top 5 to 10 out of all schools. So, it definitely wasn't a drop off. Actually, worked out better. Better personality fit, more blue collar, down to earth people at Cal.
Yeah,
it was a good atmosphere for me, and obviously it was close to home. My mom, I could go home on the weekends very easily, and it was just a good time.
Did your family get to the point where they were like, "We're tired of seeing you. Like, stay at school."
No. I'm not like that. I wasn't going home that much. But even though my junior and senior year, I stayed at home because I got privy to the, you get that money.
Yeah.
And so my mom was going to make me pay rent, but I helped out with stuff around the house, and I would get my rent check out of a grant and would use that for spending money. So it just made it easier. So I didn't have to actually struggle like some kids who try to live off campus. I had the best of both worlds since I was so close.
Yeah. What was your degree at Cal?
I ended up getting a degree in legal studies. I was thinking about going to pre-law. I started off as an engineer major, but a lot of those classes, when you get to the end of the major, we're doing football practice. I mean, classes were some – I mean, the math classes, like linear algebra. So you used to take a test, and it would be open book. But open book, it sets people up. It means, like, I don't have to study, but because it used to be like theorem A, B, C, D, E, F. And then
somewhere
each theorem I have, numero uno, 1, 2, and 3 – and, you know, you try to go look for it, you run out of time.
On one answer.
Right, one answer, like, man. So I just end up, you know, switching over to legal studies, something that I was passionate about then, but I'm not going to law school or anything now. But
how long did it take you to get a degree?
4 years.
You graduated on time?
Yeah, I graduated on time.
No, I mean, you know, some guys to go back. And
I graduated.
That's not an insult.
Yeah, I didn't leave early. Yeah. I wasn't one of those guys. If I was like a first rounder, if I would have been that caliber of kid, I probably would have left early and then got my degree later, you know, just because of the money out there.
Hey, as long as you get it.
Yeah.
No interest in law school?
No interest at all. I've had a lot of friends to go, and just their stories, especially that first year, and then with kids and everything else that I'm passionate about. I mean, could I do it? Yes. I don't want to do it. I don't have to do it, so I'm not going to do it.
I went to law school.
Yeah, so you know what it's about.
Yeah.
It's a grind.
I got out.
That's right, you did.
Yeah,
yeah, I got out. That's why I asked you, so no interest in law school, huh?
No. Yeah. No.
Lorenzo Alexander is in the studio with us, lines open. All right, we got to talk about free agency, Lorenzo. We're a month away from free agency. You've been down this road. How many times have you been out there as a free agent? Like six, five?
You counting as, you talking about being cut or a free agent as the market's coming up and people are suiting me and I have an opportunity to sign it.
Yeah,
the second one? Really just twice.
Coming to Buffalo a couple years ago?
Three times if you want to count that one. A lot of people weren't suiting me. Buffalo was my only offer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But when my last year in Washington, I came off a Pro Bowl year, ended up going to Arizona. That year I had three or four teams. And then really last year was the only other time where I would have signed a significant deal outside of like a minimum deal or, you know, your standard futures contract as a young guy.
What's that like, knowing that you have a chance to strike it rich?
It
really
is. It's exciting. It's nerve-wracking. It's stressful. It's a lot of different emotions that are kind of, you know, bottled up into the experience. You know, because it depends on how long you've been in a place. You know, when I was in Washington, I had played there for 7 years. So I really didn't want to leave because you got to go to a new team, you know, a new city, meet new people. So you're kind of thrown out of your comfort zone. But at the same time, you're trying to maximize your contract value because you know that this may be your last. You may not play next year. You might get hurt. You know, you're trying to weigh all that stuff, listen to your wife, see where your kids are at, and it's just a hard decision. But, you know, overall, obviously, it's, you know, we're talking about, you know, a wealthy issue. I mean, it wasn't a problem, but it was stressful in a sense because it was just, you don't know what decisions. No really wrong decision, but you have to make one.
When you were going through free agency the couple times you did, was it primarily as a special teamer?
No. Leaving Washington, people wanted me as a starter because that year I went to the Pro Bowl on special teams, but I played a significant amount of snaps on defense and showcased really well.
Yeah.
So people were you know, I ended up signing with Arizona because they wanted me to start as an outside linebacker in the 3-4 system.
Now, when you went through – you went undrafted.
Mm-hmm.
When you were going through free agency and you ended up signing – how long did it take for them to sign you?
For the undrafted period?
Not for undrafted, but when you were going through free agency. I'm about to, because I know when you go undrafted, you watch the entire draft and you're like, yo. But then when you're going through free agency, and you see all these people sign the first day, they get the big contracts. The second day. And then all of a sudden, you might be like 2 weeks later and you end up.
Yeah, I was never a 2 week later guy. I've always been in that like second tier, second wave. So you have obviously all the major contracts that happen in that legal tampering period. And those guys sign right at whatever the time, designated time is. And then I'm normally in that next wave of guys that signed outside of when I did it here last year, kind of work pretty quickly. And then also that year it was crazy. And this is the NFLPA rep meetings. I'm a rep.
Yeah,
so I was actually in the Bahamas during the free agency period when I came from Arizona. So we had this phone call. I'm calling back and forth from the Bahamas. And, I mean, we ran up a crazy bill just trying to get through. My guys take care of me back there. You don't have to hide it, man. Now they're going to pan in on me probably like they did the last time.
So, look.
That's what happens when you come straight from a workout and shower, eat fast.
Yeah, and then you're
trying to fit everything in, you know, trying to make everybody happy and help people out, you know. So, thank you for
the
look, challenge.
So, look, the last time they just walked on set
and threw it to him.
Then pan right in at his face.
Lorenzo needed a towel for those of you listening on the radio. There's no shame in that.
I'm actually hot and I got a sweatshirt on because I don't have any other decent shirt. So, it happens.
Lorenzo Alexander in studio with us for a couple of minutes. We're going to take a break. Come back with more of the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones, joined by Lorenzo Alexander. A couple of minutes left with Lorenzo here today, and you're welcome to join us. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. If you have a question or comment for Lorenzo Alexander, Mike Jannetty from SpotTrack going to join us a couple of minutes at 1 o'clock. We talked to you earlier, Lorenzo. You said you're out here getting a workout in, which accounts for the towel.
Right.
Are you keeping busy? Are you keeping yourself busy around Western New York this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm just obviously working out every day, taking care of the kids, dropping them off at school, picking them up. We kind of started this thing in the offseason where we could come over to the field house. We got movement Mondays and workout Wednesdays just to kind of come over here, play
catch.
It's
been in the routine.
Yeah, and just have some fun. Got the baby out there. You know, he's running the show, really, telling people where to go, where to line up, and how to run routes and whose turn it is. So just having fun in that nature and getting involved in some charity work. Yeah. We're actually taking a group of young men tomorrow, South Park High School kids that I mentioned before that we work with, over to see Black Panther.
Okay.
I went to high school with the director, Ryan Coogler, and his story is really phenomenal. He got a football scholarship to St. Mary's College, and they got rid of the football program while he was there. He ends up going to SC and getting in their film department, and has, you know, since then gotten to the Hollywood world and really has blown up pretty significantly, pretty fast for a minority in Hollywood. You know, he's had Fruitvale Station, he did Creed, and now he's doing, you know, obviously the Marvel movie Black Panther. Yeah. And he's 2 years younger than me, so he's 33.
Wow.
And to be able to carry that type of weight, move up that quickly is really inspirational. So it's just great to share it with those guys.
Fruitvale was a great movie.
Right.
And then Creed was a great movie. But once you get into that Marvel world, that's a whole different
ballgame. Taking another step. Yeah. And it's, so far, it's gotten a lot of praise from all the critics. They say it's the best rated movie of all the Marvel so far. So he's doing some big things. And so I just want to take the young men, just to show them that there's other things outside of football. Yeah. And this kid came from the inner city like me, grew up. But he made his way. Even when football was taken away from him, in a sense, he found other passions of his life that he excelled at and is, you know, famous in a different way now.
How many kids from South Park will you take?
It's going to be a group of 30. Wow. And then, you know, we got some hanger-ons from the Bills crew that everybody wants to come to this because I'm paying. So there's some people just coming out and support us too. But also, Shamarco is in town. Yeah. DT's in town, our receiver. So they'll come over too and kind of hang out with us.
Sort of adopted that South Park crew, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think Tim Delaney is doing a great job with those young men. A lot of kids from all over Buffalo have different struggles, and they're all striving to be great and do something positive with their lives. And I'm just trying to fill in the gap where I can, just to help reinforce what Tim is already teaching over there.
Have they gotten past the initial, man, that's Lorenzo Alexander phase?
Yeah. I mean, they're more talkative and, like, they want to ask me questions, like, you know, just what's going on, what are you doing, what's the off season, what's free agency, what y'all doing, what's Tyrod, you know, all the regular questions. Yeah. So
what's Donald Jones really
like? But they've never been shy about any of that. I mean, these kids, man, they keep it.
They will. They keep it 100 on you. They say some stuff. Yeah. You're like, I was
down. He's trash, man. You good, though. Don't you know. That dude is trash. I don't know what he was thinking. You know? It's funny, man. It's funny.
You
to be around
there
him.
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. All right.
Should bring those kids in here someday, you know, when you're coming in.
Yeah. Yeah, we should do that. Yeah, I'll bring a couple of them over here. See who wants to come and hang out a little bit. Yeah.
Watch them. Let's see how – get them on set. See how quiet they get there. Yes. Maybe out here, like, deer headlights.
Right. It's totally different. Just like my brother when he was on. He did a show. I do something with the stadium. My friend David Ross, I did it with them all year, and he gets on and covering his mouth, not mumbling. Yeah. You know, I think I'm going to take my talents for the next 4 years, too. You know, just being silly. I mean, dude, you don't talk like that.
That's how it happened. Let me tell you, we brought the barber, Kenny.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So, you know, you've been down to the barbershop, so you see how crazy it is in the barbershop. Oh, yeah. Right? They talk like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Brought this joker out here. He was straight quiet.
Couldn't
he was
get like, yo. Down,
huh? Yeah, it was like, Kenny, what's up, man? What's up? You good over here?
He had his fellas back there.
Hey, it's different when you're talking trash and people watching you and can call you up or come down to the shop or tweet you and talk trash to you now.
Funny. That's funny.
One of the things you've done, I understand, you were talking to us about it the other day, is hit the slopes, Chestnut Ridge, right? You had your family
out there. Went over there for the first time. It was my wife's birthday. We did the toboggans. That was okay. The sledding part was actually pretty cool. Pulling out. Watch how athletic my son is. Watch him fall off, spin around, jump up, and grab my arm. This dude is going to be a phenomenal athlete right there. You saw it, Scouts. Like, you better offer him now. Get in early because he is going to give people issues.
That was great. I watched the video. I didn't even notice he did that.
Right, I know. My friend pointed it out. I said, my God, he spun, jumped. Great awareness.
Great awareness. He's on mat, and his awareness is on 100 right
100,
now.
100, man. He going to make sure he going to save himself. You know, he going to hold on to daddy. He know to jump, too.
That joker fell off, spun around, and grabbed on.
And I had my son between my legs. You can see it. Oh, yeah. See, I'm making sure the baby's good between my legs.
Who had the camera?
Me.
You're holding it like that?
Yeah, holding it. Yeah, like I got the little pegs on the back of it. Okay. No, I forgot. It's like a pop top or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You can put your fingers in.
You look
kind of
scared.
No, I'm dialing it up for the camera in my theater.
Was this like Olympic? Was this motivated by the Olympics right now? It made you guys want
to
go out there?
No, they wanted to do it. They wanted to get out there and have some fun, do some sled. They've been begging for it. We haven't had a chance just with the season and how the snow has been working and us traveling. So it was just the first time, and it was my wife's birthday, and so she wanted to go out there. So we went out, had a good time. It was fun. It wasn't too crowded. Yeah. Get some good speed. It had some bumps out there, too, that you can kind of jump. They didn't look so athletic on that. It was crazy.
And so now what lies ahead for you? We're going to be at the Combine in 2 weeks. You're going to be out
there? Yeah, I'll be out there. I'm an NFLPA executive committee member, so I'll go out there. We have competition committees, meetings where we talk to some of the ownership and front office people on the NFL side about how to improve our game, rules and regulations that need to be changed or implemented. We'll talk to our agents, discuss some of the things, how we can continue to help ourselves or how they can help players really negotiate better deals, some of the new things out there, the new trends and different ways that we can maybe do better in the next CBA deal. And then I'll be meeting with all the incoming guys, all the guys at the Combine, talking to them, meeting with them from a PA standpoint as far as what the union helps them do, how we help protect them, the benefits they have, talk about their transition. You're no longer really a child. You are an adult in a lot of the responsibilities that you're going to undertake and challenges. And I'll talk to them from obviously a player perspective and give them some insight on that as well.
On the competition committee, do players care about anything except health and safety issues? I mean, would guys go in there and say, we got to fix the catch rule? Players care about that?
Yeah, I mean, we've had that. I mean, last year that was a big discussion, or was it 2 years ago? I've been there a couple of times now where guys are, you know, just trying to, you know, offer up suggestions of how we can make it better, different rules. Most of the rules, though, are, for the most part, health and safety related in some sort of way, whether it's cut blocks, field inspections. Like this year I'm going to bring up, and, I think a couple of years ago they made it an emphasis, but they've kind of drawn back. Hands to the face by offensive linemen. I know a lot of our guys on our team and talking to guys around the league, it's just not getting called as much anymore. And I don't know if refs aren't calling or they're just not putting the emphasis, but that's a competitive advantage, you know, for a rusher. So guys normally come in based on their position and try to fight for something to get changed that's going to obviously help themselves out. Because I'm getting punched in the face by offensive linemen. There's no way I'm going to get a sack. Yeah. I mean, it just stops your rushing, you know, right in your feet.
What offensive lineman is in the room then?
Eric will be there.
Eric will be there?
Yeah, our president. Why can't I think of Eric's last name right now? It's
now.
Hey, there you go, Winston. I'm blanking. Eric Winston. So he'll be in there. But hey,
That's what I'm saying. So do y'all go back and forth? So you like, man, y'all in the hands to the face, and then he comes back like, nah, we not the hands to the face. They not calling it because we not doing it.
Nah, I mean, you'll have film. So guys are coming there with film, and you'll show, this is what's happening right here. Boom, hands to the face.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then you kind of show maybe 5 or 6 clips, and you ask, you know, who's responsible for this call? Why is it not being called? Is it not being emphasized? And you do that with every single play. And, you know, sometimes they'll ask players' perspective, but ultimately the competition committee members on the NFL side, you know, come down with the rulings, and they have the votes.
Y'all have an agent meeting too, right?
Right.
Now, how does that work? What do you guys talk about with the agents?
So that's like a huge seminar. That's a whole day where they bring in different aspects of the PA.
I don't know what's going on over here, man.
I don't know.
He keep throwing stuff at me.
There's different aspects of the PA, business-wise, contractual-wise, CBA-wise. They'll talk to them all day. And then we'll have a chance where, and this is in the big meeting, where it's all the agents of the union. Mm-hmm. And then maybe normally 2 or 3 players will come in and answer questions. They'll have, like a couple of years ago, the big thing was players were changing the default from 3% to 1.5% or 2%, something like that. Because most players, young players, don't know that the agent fee is negotiable.
Yeah.
So, right? So they thought we were changing their 3% and just changing it. The max was now 2%. And obviously that's going to make a big impact on somebody's livelihood and income they have for their family. So – but our thing was is obviously you're not telling kids that it's negotiable. So now we're putting the onus on the agent to say, I want 3% and this is why.
Right.
Because most kids don't have that just don't have that maturity yet to do that. Mm-hmm. And it just is what it is. If it's right or wrong or indifferent, it doesn't matter. So that's what we've done, just to kind of help the players. And if you can convince a kid, say, hey, I'm charging 3% and this is what it is, and you can make them understand it, then okay, you got it. Right. But if you don't say nothing, it's going to be 2%.
Right. So basically you want them to be more transparent.
Right, yeah. Right. So, but they'll have a big gripe about issues like that we do. And some of it's justified, some of it isn't. Yeah.
It's funny because last year I had dinner and we were out there, and I will this year as well. I had dinner with a bunch of agents. It was a group of like 20 agents from all different agencies around the country. And they were talking about some of the things that you guys talk about in that meeting. Mm-hmm. They were just complaining back and forth.
Of
and
course.
I'm sitting there, the only player at the table, a former player.
You should have jumped in,
and
man.
And I was jumping in on little things, but ultimately it's like a whole group of agents. So I'm win this battle.
They
want
to win on both sides. Yeah. You know, they don't want to pay for a kid's training that's, you know, maybe a borderline draft or draft not, so you have to make the investment, but he may not make the team, so now you're out of money. But then they don't want to pay for that, but they want to take 3% when he makes the team.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that don't make sense. I mean, this is a business model. Everybody's not going to succeed in this business, just like everybody does it in the NFL, so there is a risk-reward factor that you have to understand walking in, and you have to build your clientele that way. And you might have to hold another job until you can walk away from that job and it's viable. So, and you know, and they want to complain and tell me how hard it – don't tell me how hard it is. You know, I've been grinding on this thing too, so don't tell me how hard it is. And they make it seem – and some agents are better than others, but they make it seem sometimes that they're due more like they're doing the work.
Right.
Your job is as easy as I make it for you. So the production I do out there, the work I put in – it's as easy as your job is going to be. So if I have a big contract coming, there's no reason in my mind that you should be asking, trying to get more than 3% now.
Yeah.
I mean, I did all the work. You just helping me making sure contractually if it's right or not. Because if I really wanted to do it, what I would do now, knowing what I do know now, I would just hire somebody to just make sure the legal side of it is correct, and then I'm done with you. Because you don't really talk to them for the most part after you do the deal. You talk to them a lot during that free agent period, maybe – you know, every other day for 2 or 3 months. And then if you sign a 3 or 4 year deal, talk to them sporadically. And they're making their money. They're not doing nothing. For the most part, and, you know, everybody's not like that, but most agents, my first agent I didn't talk to.
I didn't either. That's why I fired him. I fired my first one. Like, yo, what is going on? I was like, yo, I'm starting. I'm playing.
Yeah.
I'm not getting anything off the field. I see jokers all around me getting endorsement deals and all types of stuff. Like, what is going on here? So, you know,
you got me thinking that maybe the Players Association and agents are like natural enemies. You're both trying to do the same thing, aren't you?
We are not natural enemies, but they're still on the business side. It is business at some point, and I am paying you. You work for me, and so there will be some natural tension there as well. Even though we want the same thing, obviously the more money players get, the more –
Agent
gets, because that 3% is going to be a bigger number because it's coming from a bigger slice of pie. But at the same time, I'm all for the player first and then the agent, you know. So if something that players want collectively is different than what agents want, from a player's perspective, it's oh well, because I'm hiring you and you're walking into the business understanding this knowledge. It's not something that we're just springing on you. It's conversations. But at the end of the day, players have the inputs and they're going to make – the best decision that we think are for our guys.
Ultimately, what it comes down to is, as a player, you feel like I'm on the field putting in all the work. I'm the one that's put my body at risk and everything. When I go for a contract, the team ultimately doesn't want to pay me top dollar anyway. I mean, they're going to do their best to not have to pay me top dollar. And the agent is making money off of me as well. And I'm the one that's out there actually putting in the work.
Right.
You know?
And I pay my agent after I get taxed.
Yeah,
and
they're
getting it off the top.
Off the top.
Off the top numbers. So, but it's crazy. And then, like, for a minimum deal, you know, I come to a team, all we say, we offering you a vet minimum deal. It was no negotiation going on. You get 3% of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've talked to my agent, you know, the last time I came up, I was like, hey, if they give me a vet minimum deal, I could walk in the room and get that.
Yeah.
So you get zero.
How'd that go?
And then anything over that, if you can negotiate something over that, because I mean, it is what it is. I was at year 14. I had been with the guy, or year 13, been with him for a long time. So anything over that, you can get, because you earn that.
Yeah.
But I can go in there and get a minimum deal and take it to the PA. They got guys over the PA, read the contract, and then send it in, and I don't really need you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so, and he was okay with that. Talked to him about it. I'm a veteran player. He has made some money off of me already. So he was fine with that. But most young guys wouldn't know to even say that. I mean, because if you undrafted, they're going to give you a basic deal. He has no negotiation. He ain't going to say nothing.
Nothing.
But he going to get 3%. Yeah. So that's why I'm passionate about this, because we're all about keeping money in players' pockets and doing it the right way. But the agent makes it seem, well, I got him on the team. No, you didn't.
That's crazy. And the crazy thing is, if you fire him, he still get paid throughout the length of that contract, throughout the length of your NFL contract. So if you fired your agent right now, went to another agent, but you still got 3 years left on your NFL deal, you're still paying your old agent. And so it's
not fair.
They're just raking it in.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, and I get it. There's a purpose for them, and a lot of them do a great job, but I'm always player first when it comes to this.
Thanks for listening, Lorenzo. We'll see you out at the Combine, I guess, huh, in a couple weeks?
Yeah, we'll be out there. Okay. Have a good time. Come jump on with you guys.
All right, great. Lorenzo Alexander, Bills linebacker, joining us in studio. When we come back, Mike Jannetty from SpotTrack, speaking of agents, speaking of contracts, he's going to join us, and we'll talk about free agency with him. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run. Fires down the middle. It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre'Davious Tre'Davious White. He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. McCoy cuts to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hour two of the show, John Murphy, Donald Jones. We've been a long time with Lorenzo Alexander, Donald. That got interesting, though, at the end. That it isn't always interesting.
Yeah, no, but
it's good to see the two of you kind of back off each other and maybe have some
normal conversation.
Some normal conversation, yeah. Like real humans.
But it, when you start really getting into that business stuff, and a lot of people don't know how that stuff works, especially with the agents, man, it's like, yo. And you sit and you talk to agents, you're like, you really just sit back and collect the money.
Yeah.
3% off the top before taxes, you just sit back and collect. And that's why guys like Lorenzo sit in there and they go back and forth with the agents.
Speaking of the money, speaking of the contracts, we have the foremost expert on NFL contracts in studio with us. Good to have Mike Jannetty in here with us. Mike, good to see you here. I don't think we've had you in here since opening day of free agency last March, right? Was that the last time you had?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's been a little bit, but yeah, good to be back, and there's plenty to talk about, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're a month away. Mike has SpotTrack, is SpotTrack.com, SpotTrac.com, the website that deals with the salaries in every major professional sport, really, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a busy time of year. We just finished the NBA trade deadline, which wasn't anything to sniff about, and then, yeah, obviously we're kicking in NFL free agency, and maybe at some point baseball will sign some players, but who knows what's going on with that.
Is this is the NFL the most popular sport that you cover in terms of following contracts?
Yeah, by about 3-1.
Really?
It dominates. I mean, ratings are down. I don't believe it, right? Yeah, it's still popular. People want to know the numbers. And really, it's the most complicated, too. So in terms of what we do, we're talking about it all the time just so people understand it. It's really, you know, the salary cap and all that. It's tough.
Cap
to,
makes it
the
interesting.
The only time, like, baseball gets interesting is only when you get a guy who signs for $400 million.
That's
and
right.
People are like, man, what? He just got that much money. Then you get football players that are like, yo, we're not getting paid out here. We got to get some more money. And that's when it really gets interesting. But football, because of the way the contracts work and all of that stuff, people are really interested.
And it is the most complex, right?
I mean,
it's hard sometimes to sort through. I have trouble sorting through exactly what a contract means. And I think we've all become educated to the fact that when a contract is signed and the number is out there, it's really not the number. It's not the real money that's going to go to a player.
Yeah, that's pretty much number one step I take is Jimmy Garoppolo signs a 5-year deal, and I've got to go out there and say, hold on, it's not 5 years, you know, it's team friendly, it's 2 to 3 years, it's a lot of money, but you know, it's not that much money.
So. And why and people? What is that? Agents, back to agents again, trying to inflate the numbers, and right? I mean,
yeah, it's public relations. It's, you know, I mean, technically speaking, it is a 5-year, $137 million contract. You know, if he plays that out, but just the way that the salary cap works, there are certain things in place that, you know, he's going to make his cash early on, and then it's going to kind of fizzle out, and either he's going to want a new contract, or the team's going to say, we can't do this anymore. So
he doesn't – it's not like an option type of thing, like Tyrod.
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. Like Tyrod's got one. There's Derek Johnson's got one out in Kansas City, and there's actually a few more of those. They're becoming more prevalent. kind of like a one-year deal with a second-year option where the team can say yes or no right about this time of year. That's prevalent, and you're seeing that in a lot of sports, actually. With baseball, you're giving player options, which, you know, they're not getting paid enough. Apparently, they have to have the ability to get out
That's
of
right.
it, too, right?
That's right?
And obviously in the NBA, that we're seeing that, too. We're seeing, you know, these superstars sign one-year, two-year deals with the ability to opt out so they can, you know, cash in on the next big salary cap raise. So it's the option's becoming more and more popular. It's an interesting vice. But again, it's just proof that these contracts sort of don't hold their weight.
Now, in the NFL, they don't give many player options, right? It's usually team.
Yeah, no. It's all about the team. The team owns all the leverage, except unless you're Kirk Cousins right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, he put himself in a position where, you know, he's ready to decide what he wants to do and cash in. But that's because Washington essentially leveraged him as 100% over the last 2 years. And lost the advantage to leverage him at all going forward. I mean, there's really no way to trade him. You know, there's no feasible way for Washington to make any sort of replications with this in terms of finances. So I think what they did with Alex Smith makes a lot of sense.
It's for quarterbacks, and I always say this, when you franchise a guy, it can truly, like, change the relationship between the player and the organization. Now, you franchise me, I'm going to go out here, I'm going to play for my teammates, for the city, all of that stuff. But for quarterbacks, it's a little different because if they go out there and produce, you know that everybody in this league is thirsty for it. Most teams are thirsty for a quarterback. They need a franchise quarterback. We see it this year. You've seen it last year. So if you continuously franchise a guy, he's like, all right, I'll play under that, you know. And that's the position that you don't get hurt as much. Mm. So I'll play under that franchise, and then next year you're going to franchise me again. I'm going to make $25 million. I'll play and make that $25. At some point, you ain't going to be able to afford me. Right. And I'm going to hit the free agent market, and then I'm going to get paid then too. You know, so it's the quarterback position is the one position where I think guys are okay with being friends.
Yeah, and it's hard to see the upside, the benefit for Washington to do that back-to-back years with him, isn't it?
Yeah, we just had this conversation on our podcast, actually, and really where the franchise tag is gone based on things you just said. They changed how it's valued, right? So 5 years ago, it was just take the top five salaries at that position, and that's what it's going to be. Well, what they did is they weighted it against the total salary cap of the league, right? So it's gotten higher and higher every year, especially in some of these lower positions. And really, it's not being used like it was intended to be used. Really, it's supposed to be a placeholder. It's supposed to be, we want to make sure this time of year, mid-February, you know, this guy's not getting away or he's not talking to other teams, and we're going to have him in place for 3-4 months to work out a deal and go from there. It's not that anymore. It's what you're saying. It's, you know, we don't want to have to sign Kirk Cousins 5 years because we can sign him for one or two. He gets a couple of bucks from us, and then we go from there. It's the girlfriend versus the wife, mm-hmm. right? You know what I mean? You no longer have to commit because they're happy with their cash, like you're talking about, and we don't have to put in a long-term deal. But the problem, and I'm the devil's advocate in this because from the business side, it's just so much cap to take on. You know what I mean? And for a situation like Cousins, they took on an enormous amount of cap last year. It affected their ability to build their team around him, and they got worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got worse from 16 to 17. There's no question. Injuries were a part of that, but part of it was they just couldn't put together a roster that was good enough to compete. And, I mean, I hear Le'Veon Bell in a franchise tag again, you know, $14.5 million, and I think to myself, you know, that's just outrageous for a running back right now. It's outrageous. I mean, I think Shady McCoy's $9 million is high in terms of what teams should be allocating with running backs right now. So to me, the franchise tag has gotten a little bit squirrely. It's being used for things it probably shouldn't be used for. But, yeah, you're right. I don't think players are scoffing at it. I mean, it's good money.
Yeah.
if the cap doesn't go up, if the revenue doesn't flow in, nobody would even look at that path, right?
No.
What allowed the Redskins and other teams to do that.
Yeah, because it's a percentage of that cap. As long as the cap keeps growing, teams can keep leveraging it as a legitimate salary.
Yeah.
The problem is they got to take on the cap.
Yeah. Mike Jannetty from SpotTrack in studio with us. If you have questions for Mike, phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or we can take him on Twitter if you like at John Murphy Show. Mike, talk to me about how teams manage the cap. We're 23, 24 years into the salary cap era in the NFL. Teams, it seems to me, are much more sophisticated now than they ever have been, which would stand to reason. But they really do, including the use of the cap, they really do seem to find ways, not around it, but find ways to maximize what they can do under the salary cap.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference, and we've seen it with a recent turnover in GMs, the biggest difference is get it done early. You know what I mean? That's always been the Patriots way, right? Let's extend these guys in the middle of the season. you know, let's trade or move a guy in the middle of the offseason when maybe it's not as a sexy a time to do so. But it's all about getting ahead of the game, right? So, and really, in terms of being able to roll over cap as well. So if there's moves you can make at the end of the offseason, during the middle of the regular season, that can benefit you for next year, those kind of things are happening more and more as well, especially the trade deadline.
Right.
It's one of the reasons we see the trade deadline becoming a little bit more of a popular item, is that's a way for teams to think about next year already in terms of their cap. So there's been more vices used to gain cap space, especially on a year-to-year basis. I think better deals earlier, allowing them to maybe go an extra year in terms of the length of the contract, but then spread that cap out like we talked about with Garoppolo. And then, look, we're in a situation now where teams have more cap space than they've ever had in recent ever, maybe. I mean, we've got two teams at $100 million, the Jets at $90 million. I mean, that's a ridiculous amount of cap space to be able to entertain in March. And what that's allowing are deals like Garoppolo's, where, you know, he's making $43 million this year. He's making, you know, $37 million against the cap, which is ridiculous to think about any other year. But because of what the 49ers have afforded them in terms of cap space, it's a brilliant way to structure that deal. They can get rid of a huge chunk of that salary cap right now. And then, you know, year two, year three, there's a little bit of relief. And then, like I said, they can get out of it after year three if they need to. So really, it's almost like a gigantic franchise tag on Jimmy Garoppolo. That sounds like a five-year deal.
Yeah. Now, this is a little bit off track of where you were going, but do you do coaches' salaries?
So I keep track of them internally. I don't post them just because I really don't have a firm resource for them. I don't have a firm source on them. I hear numbers just like, you know, the general public does, and I kind of keep track of that on a spreadsheet just so I have it in mind. From what I've seen, I think $10 million is about the highest. I think Gruden's is pretty much, you know, the cream of the crop in terms of that coach's salary.
Not Belichick.
No, last
I've
seen.
Well, yeah, Gruden got that ridiculous contract.
My guess is Belichick's had plenty of bonuses thrown in, though, in terms of playoff and postseason. But yeah, I think he was in the middle of the pack, around $7.5 million.
Got a problem with coaches making money? Do you, Don?
No, I was about
agents,
to ask,
coaches. He's all over
right.
Everybody. The players. I mean, the coaches' salaries have nothing to do with the salary cap. Right.
No, they don't. No.
Now, would the teams, the organizations, the players would never go for this, but would they ever argue for, we need to put the coaches' salaries in the salary cap so that they, now you have everybody in the salary cap and you don't have I hate that I'm actually even saying this, being a former player, but now you have everybody in that salary cap, so you pay the players a little bit less.
Look at it. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I've always thought they should be, because you can trade a coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they, they can become a transaction along with players and draft picks.
Right.
So to me, yeah, I think there's probably a call for them to be in the books in terms of the cap. But the cap is hard enough. Let's not make it any harder, would you, Donald?
But they don't have a union, right? That's a major difference. Yeah, they don't collectively bargain with
The coaches. Players Association is separate from all that. Yeah. But, yeah, I think there's some merit to it.
Yeah.
Mike Jannetty from SpotTrack with us. Let's get to the Bills. Let's talk about the Bills' salary cap issues right now. Where are they with cap space right now, Mike? And what does the Bills' salary cap look like right now?
Yeah, they're right around that $30 million mark, and that doesn't include the draft pool, which I've got at about $8.5 million. So give or take, they're, you know, around that $20 million mark when you include draft picks, which is okay. I mean, obviously there's names out there, you know, that have been thrown around where they can gain some cap space pretty quickly. But they're in a pretty good standing. I think they were in a little bit better standing last year this time. But I think, frankly, they don't have the outgoing free agents they had last year. So I think it's, you know, it's going to be less of a splash season in terms of free agency and more of a creative process for Brandon Bean this year.
In what way? What do you
just
mean?
Just I think maybe we'll see some trades, possibly even with Tyrod. I've heard, you know, in the last few days that may be a possibility outside of outright releasing him. Even though there's a plethora of quarterbacks available this offseason, I think maybe seeing him traded would bring in a decent asset, save $1 million in terms of the dead cap. Cordy Glenn, that's a name that could be creative. I don't know if they can outright release him with the way his dead cap is structured. And I think they might want to keep him, too, just, you know, because of the player he is and how much that means to, you know, a team that's kind of going forward and pushing towards the playoffs. They're obviously being creative with Eric Wood in terms of how that situation is playing out, unfortunately. There's some guys on the cap casualty list, which, you know, maybe they're trying to trade right now to not outright release, because I think outright release, you know, obviously there's a bigger dead cap hit for the most part. And I think they've got some guys of value where, you know, re-signing them or restructuring them maybe doesn't make sense because of their age and the way the Bills are looking in the next couple of seasons. But I think we'll see some creative GM work this offseason.
Now, Tyrod, as you talk about, they would pick up his option and then trade him, is what you're hearing. You heard that about Kirk Cousins, and obviously his number would be a lot more. If you franchise him and then try to trade him, you're talking about a lot more money. So Tyrod's contract is a little more friendly in terms of a trade, where a team might say, okay, we can do that.
Yeah, it is. So the way Tyrod's deal works is he's got that $6 million roster bonus, right, which is due 5 days after free agency opens. $1 million of it is already guaranteed. So we're talking about a $5 million swing here, which that might be a lot to teams. You know, I mean, he's got a $10 million salary. You know, if you can bring in Tyrod Taylor at $10 million, that's probably something teams will talk about, you know, because that's a viable quarterback option for a team that needs it at, you know, you're talking 30th in the league right there in terms of ranking quarterback salaries. So I think what may have to happen is the Bills may have to pay that roster bonus in order to trade him, which I don't know if that's something they want to do. You know what I mean? I think when push comes to shove, you probably release him before that and cut your ties and go from there. Look, I'm still in Tyrod's camp. I'm still in a situation where I'm not leaving out the opportunity of a restructure again and seeing if he's your veteran option for whatever they draft going forward this year. So, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen, a lot of moving parts. But really interesting is just how many quarterbacks might be available in the next week or so.
Well, so let's get to that. If it isn't Tyrod, and if you say if the money dictates that maybe they get rid of Tyrod, who's going to be out there? Let's leave Kirk Cousins aside. But where's the value in quarterbacks of a Tyrod Taylor caliber, which is a pretty fairly high caliber?
Fairly high, which is the point I'm making. Yeah, I think you've got a guy like Case Keenum, who's a little older, who had a great season. I think he may be available. You go along with Bradford and Bridgewater out of Minnesota. Those are guys who are going to probably become available unless some contractual things happen, like a transition tag or a franchise tag or things like that. Look at A.J. McCarron may walk out of Cincinnati this offseason. That's a guy who's been pining for a starting position somewhere. And if conversely, if A.J. McCarron is given an opportunity in Cincinnati, I think Andy Dalton might be a guy who is a cap casualty this offseason as well. Mm-hmm. That's a name I've had on my list for a couple of weeks now. There's some options. I mean, I think there's some other players out there. I don't think Blake Bortles is one of them. It sure looks like Jacksonville is going to give him the chance to play out that $19 million salary this year and see what they can do again towards a postseason run. But, yeah, there's certainly some quarterback options in terms of what we're seeing. I don't think Nick Foles is the option I thought he was going to be a month ago. I think that Super Bowl run and Carson Wentz's injury situation probably has Foles locked in, possibly even as the week one starter in Philly next year. So I think that's a situation that's probably moot in terms of free agency, but that would have been high on the Bills' radar, in my opinion, if that was a situation where they could have traded or gotten him in free agency. But, yeah, like I said, you know, we break it down, and you talk the names, you talk the numbers, and maybe a restructured deal for Tyrod doesn't look so bad.
Yeah. You know? He is on record saying he's not interested in that, but that could change, right?
Sure. I mean, I think we went through that last year.
I don't know if he said that publicly.
He didn't say it, but I think he went to find some interest and didn't see too much, you know, and I'm in the boat that might be the same situation this year.
Especially with all those other quarterbacks. Yeah, right. Hey, I want to get you back to the Bills' overall cap picture and the way they've allocated among position groups. They've got a quarter of their money tied up in the offensive line. That's what, Cordy Glenn, Eric Wood, Richie, those three in particular?
Yeah, Incognito for sure. He's one of the higher paid guards. And obviously, Cordy Glenn is, I think, third on tackles right now. So that's a high cap hit. Like I said, that's a guy who's had injury issues. And man, when he plays, he's great. But I don't know if you can handle a $14 million cap for a guy like that right now in terms of where the Bills are going and structuring and getting younger really across the board. So yeah, right now it's very offensive heavy in terms of their cap dollars. That's certainly going to change come free agency and come a couple of maybe extensions in the next couple of weeks here. But it's shading towards the offense. Like I said, McCoy's got a big number for running backs. Tyrod's in the middle of the pack right now. But if that's a cap hit that they remove, then they're going to be in pretty good shape in terms of cap space and really how they're positionally set up. They're pretty balanced. I think the new regime has done a pretty good job of sort of trimming the fat. You know, and obviously, you know, one of the big things they did is move Marcel Darius off this team. And he's an impact this year. And that's not to be forgotten. He's a $14.2 million dead cap hit in 2018. And there's nothing he can do about that. So that was an impact of moving him during the middle of the season. They're just going to have to suck that up this year. But those are the kind of things that happen when you have contracts that have guarantees in future years and big signing bonuses and things like that.
You know, you've brought up LeSean McCoy's contract a couple of times.
Yeah.
Is he a guy who could be getting approached here soon in the next couple of weeks about something with his contract, whether it's a reduction or an extension to try to spread it out a little bit more?
Yeah, only if they need to, in my opinion. The cash flow is good. I think he's probably pretty happy with that. I mean, everybody wants more, right? But
right.
I think he's pretty happy with how the back end of this contract looks. The cap numbers are high just because he's a running back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But if the Bills, you know, aren't going to go out and pay a huge wide receiver contract, if they're not going to make a huge quarterback splash in terms of free agency, they can certainly afford to have, you know, LeSean McCoy as the highest cap hit in the league. I'm in the boat where if he's got a 2-3 year future for you, then yeah, you should restructure him. You should put him into a little bit of an extension, give yourself a little bit of cap relief, and go from there. But they're probably right now standing pat until they need to.
Back to dead cap for a second. Your numbers show the Bills lead the league in dead cap money. Is that mostly Marcel?
Mostly Darius. Aaron Williams has a decently high cap hit. I believe there's one more player who's on this
list. Raglan?
Yeah, Raglan, right. So a couple of trades they've made that have led some 2018 cap in terms of the dead cap. Yeah, right now they're the highest. That's not going to be the case going forward. There are some teams who need to make some serious moves. And I think we're going to see some pretty notable names hit the bonus, hit the cap casualty wire in the next week or so.
From the Bills or NFL?
No, just across the league. Yeah. I just did an update on my roster bubble article that I do every year, and I've got 110 players, notable players on the list. Mm. You know, not all of them obviously are getting cut. But
who's the most notable?
Yeah, I mean, Dez Bryant, who, again, the Cowboys have been back and forth on saying if they like him or not in terms of how that contract is structured. It's going to be tough for me to see him stay with the money they owe him and the cap that they have to allocate when they've got some bigger fish to feed in terms of that defense and things like that. I got a lot of Seattle defensive players. You know, I talked about that in my recent episode of the podcast, that could be a huge shakeup. I mean, yeah. Really a big shakeup. I think they're going to keep Cam Chancellor just because they have to, but, I mean, you could see guys like Cliff Averill, Michael Bennett, Richard Sherman, maybe even, you know, Earl Thomas, although he's probably in the long-term future if he wants to play. But really, every team has two to three guys, notably, that they could move on from just because of cap, because of production. But it's the biggest list I've put together in 5-6 years that I've been doing this here.
Your list of potential Bills cap casualties include Cordy Glenn, and we talked about Tyrod Taylor. You also have Jerry Hughes and Lorenzo Alexander on that list.
Yeah, Hughes was sort of a late addition, and it's really just because his number's over $10 million. He's got a $10.4 million cap hit this year. The pass production has just dropped off. I mean, you know, he was thriving in that Jim Schwartz defense and in Rex Ryan a little bit, but man, the edge rush just hasn't been there. He's been a solid player. He's making, you know, good run stop numbers, good production. He grades well with Pro Football Focus. I mean, he's kind of hitting all the numbers in terms of the modern analytics. I just had to put him there because the cap hit was higher than probably they want it to be. So, you know, maybe there's a deal where they can restructure a little bit, but he's definitely on the bubble in terms of that cap figure. Incognito, again, tough. You've got a guy with a $7 million cap hit. He's the starting guard. He's a Pro Bowl guard. It's just preference, in my opinion. Do they want to get younger? Do they want to get cheaper? You know, can they afford a high draft pick on the line? I think that they're probably looking to do so, whether it's defense or offense. But Incognito's just, again, he's a high cap hit for a guy over 30, and that's a recipe for getting on the bubble list.
Lorenzo?
Lorenzo's tough. He certainly took a step back in terms of his pass production. I think that was expected. I think 2016 was sort of an anomaly in terms of the numbers. You know, nobody expected 12.5 sacks again out of him, especially in a system where he was a little bit more fluid. I don't know. That's just a guy that I could see them needing to save a couple of million with if push came to shove. I think it's probably a situation like McCoy where they're not going to approach that unless they really have to. I think they probably love his veteran presence. Certainly he's a leader in that clubhouse in terms of the veterans and even across the league, talking about the combine and things like that here. That's probably the last on the list here because there's really not that much to save to release him. But it sure sounds like he wants to play, and
yeah.
I think he'll be given every chance to compete for sure.
We spent a lot of time on the show a couple of days ago, Mike, talking about E.J. Gaines. The Bills have a couple of notable players of their own who you would imagine they'd like to re-sign. And you had a market value analysis of E.J. Gaines that had his number at like $9.5 million.
Yeah, yeah.
That seemed high.
Yeah, look, he's a former first. He's a guy that's probably going to expect a decent contract. Look, I've seen reports that he wants top money, that he wants top cornerback money, just because there's not, you know, great cornerback options out there, especially with Malcolm Butler's stock certainly dropping a little bit here. He's a guy I think the Bills really need to attack in terms of free agency. That's the one name I think that they can't afford to let go. He just seemed to be a good fit. Obviously, the injuries and staying on the field is a big deal, but that seems like a good fit to McDermott's system. And, look at it. If you can get him around $10 million, that's like seventh or eighth in terms of cornerbacks right now.
So is he that good?
I think he's that good.
Because he's not like the traditional lockdown man cover corner.
That's right.
And we wonder if maybe there's a different valuation for a zone corner as opposed to a...
There is, and that's it. I mean, unfortunately...
Really?
Unfortunately, the $8 and $9 million mark is that second tier, because you're talking 14, 15 with the Normans and the Gilmores and those guys now. So, yeah, I mean, Malcolm Butler had a down year, and he still values at $13 million. So, you know, that's just where we're going. It's tough to keep these guys at decent prices because other guys get paid. That's just how it works.
And when you say the Bills, I think you said they have to be kind of aggressive. Are you saying throw money at him or come up with a better solution?
No, I think, the franchise tag is certainly an option with E.J. Gaines just because of, what they had to give up to get him.
What would that number be for corners?
It's right around there. I mean, you're talking
around
about
10?
No, it's higher. It's probably 12 at this point. I haven't seen the projections yet, but it's probably higher. But that's what I'm saying. Be aggressive. If you can go and throw a 4 to 5 year contract at him, structure it a way that works for your cap structure. Look, the Bills are in good shape in 19 cap wise. That's something
to
think about because, they certainly have a process. It's easy for me to see it when I look at the numbers. They've got a process. This was the draft year. You know what I mean? They've set themselves up to sort of spend in the draft and maybe make a couple of trades that work in their favor. In-going and outgoing in terms of the cap numbers, but they appear to be setting themselves up for big-time free agency 2019, whether that's hopefully not a quarterback, but whether they need a quarterback in 2019 or not, but certainly to fill other holes. But if they can get a guy like E.J. Gaines locked up this year when there's not much to be had in free agency, I think, internally of what they're looking to spend, that makes a lot of sense to me because you can structure his cap to be friendlier next year to get ready for a big splash.
Would he be more of a priority over Preston Brown?
I would say so. I think Preston Brown's a very tough guy to value. You know, really, inside linebackers as a whole, they're just tough to value because their production is so spread out that no one stat generally stands out. You know what I mean? Even a Zach Brown, back 2 years ago, look what happened with him. He got $2.5 million, and still put up 110 tackles.
Are they tough to value or undervalued?
Both. I mean, they're sort of falling in that running back conversation where they're being utilized with specific roles, right? So maybe they're not three down guys anymore, or maybe some of them are used in coverage more than they are with pass rush. Some are just flat out run stoppers, which is where we got with our defensive linemen as well. I mean, you got guys like Darius and Star Latue, those guys out there who the numbers just don't pop off the page, and that's tough to value in terms of keeping those guys at high prices. Preston Brown is probably a 50-50 shot to stay, in my opinion, just because of the way, they're thinking about throwing money at Gaines. There's probably some smaller contracts to get done. Preston's got great numbers,
And he's got a strong argument for big money.
He does, and I valued him at $8 million, which is no small number for an inside linebacker these days. I mean, the high is 12. Most of the major names get in the 10 to 11 mark in terms of the last two seasons. So he's on the low end in terms of my value. I mean, that's a guy that can, if he walks, he's probably thinking $10 million per year just because of his production, his veteran leadership. And really, he's the quarterback of that defense. So if he's going to go and do that somewhere else, he wants to get paid for it, I'm sure.
And finally, 2019. Can you just kind of elaborate what you said? Donald and I kind of hinted at it earlier in the show. Things clear up for 2019 for the Bills cap-wise.
Yeah. I mean, obviously right now that's a little bit jaded because there's no quarterback on the roster, right? I mean, Nathan Peterman's contract isn't going to break your bank in terms of 2019. So we'll see what happens with that. If they bring in a free agent quarterback this year, with any sort of multi-year contract, obviously that's going to change. But even so, they're in great shape. The barring any gigantic releases or trades this year that would push dead cap into next year, that's where they're going to be really healthy. And, we talk about health in terms of financial health at SpotTrack. They're setting themselves up to take their lumps last year and this year in terms of the dead cap. That's why we see them so high right now. They shouldn't have to move that much into next year. They should be able to be fully equipped with, $85 million of cap space, barring whatever signings they do this year. But they should be in good shape. I'm sure that the structure this year is don't overspend on anybody right now, because anybody we overspend on right now is money we're not going to be able to roll into next year. They're not going to want to restructure contracts because that's just not good business these days. It's just bad. You know, you don't want to be pushing dead cap down the line if you don't have to, even though some teams continually do so. I don't see this team as one of them. But, yeah, the process appears to be, like I said, let's be draft heavy this year, maybe a couple of trades, and then next year let's ramp up for whatever free agency holes we need to fill.
Hey, Mike, what's the best way for fans to access SpotTrac and use it over the next month or so going into free agency?
Yeah, so obviously SpotTrac.com is the website. We're at SpotTrac on Twitter, and in the next few weeks we will be an Apple iOS application as well. So we're continuing to grow our brand and try to make this a valuable resource for our fans and members of the media and things like that. And we're happy to take questions via Twitter or email and things like that. It's a busy time of year. It's a complicated time of year, and we're happy to do it.
Thanks for coming in and spending all this time with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mike Jannetty, SpotTrac.com, SpotTrac. .com. All your information you need about salary cap, where the Bills stand. Mike's got a post up there. Off-season cap questions, Buffalo Bills. You should read that. Donald and I back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Tuning in today, John Murphy and Donald Jones. We've already had Lorenzo Alexander in here. We had Mike Jannetty. We just said goodbye to him. Mike's, man, he's the number guy. He's the answer man, Donald. It's almost great to have him in here today, a month before. It is great to have him in here today, a month before free agency, to sort of frame the landscape here. So now we know what we're dealing with. And our Twitter poll deals with free agency as well. You may want to weigh in on that if you haven't yet. Want to know from you, when it comes to free agency for the Buffalo Bills, do you want to see them make a big splash? You think the Bills are going to make a big splash in free agency? They have $29.3 million in cap space, about as half as much, you know, right in the middle of the pack. 55% of you say, nope, don't bother. 45% say, yes, I want a big splash. Give us a call. Let's discuss. We've got lines wide open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. I don't think Mike Jannetty expects a big splash, and I don't think he thinks it would be a good idea for the Buffalo Bills either, Tom.
It sounds like what he's saying is next year you can get some bigger splashes, but this year it's going to be more of a, he said creative.
Yeah,
is what he said. A more creative process in terms of free agency. You can see some trades in there, but you're not going to see the big splashy free agent signings just because, I mean, $29 million, they're right in the middle of the pack, but you go ahead and sign one of those guys and it eats up your entire cap. And you got a lot of holes on your team, you know, so you got to figure out a way to really be creative and try to make it happen in terms of free agency without spending top dollar.
The dead cap money, and this kind of recapping what Mike said, the dead cap for the Bills, more than anybody else in the league, kills them right now in terms of flexibility. You know, and most of it, admittedly, is Marcell Dareus. They're out from under that contract. They found a trade partner in October last year. But the dead cap money, $18.6 million. What did Mike say? $14 million of that is Marcell Dareus money. That one, that kills them still. And when that's gone next year, now you're looking at a different picture.
Yeah, I mean, Marcell's agent did some work that year. He got signed up. And now the Bills have to deal with that this year. And it is that dead cap money that they have to deal with. But ultimately, it's just something that they're going to have to eat and live with. We'll see if they have some guys here in the next couple of weeks that you start to see cap casualty or
renegotiations
in terms of reduction or extension to kind of spread that money out a little bit more. You see if they can make that happen.
Yeah, and, you know, you wonder where they're at right now. I don't know that those decisions have been made yet, but certainly they're in the formulation process, I would think, right?
Yeah, you got to – and Lorenzo was talking about this. I mean, right now they are having meetings about these things, about, all right, where is our salary cap right now? Okay, where do we – who can we – when you look out there on the free agent market and when you look at the guys that you might want to bring back here – how much is it going to cost to bring him back, or how much is it going to cost to bring XYZ from outside of here into Buffalo? You know, and how can we make that happen? How can we squeeze a little bit more money out of this salary cap, dude? And you look at your team, the guys that are still on your roster, and you say, okay, we have we had this guy. He talked about Jerry. He talked about Zoe. He talked about Richie, you know, even possibly LeSean McCoy or something like that. How can we rework these numbers to make it a little bit more friendly so that if we do want to get an EJ Gaines, we don't have a problem with going at $10 million or something like that to make sure, because we feel like we really need him here in this defense.
That's the other thing that stuck with me. 2 days ago, we're like, really? $9 million to keep EJ Gaines?
Yeah,
Mike Jannetty says, yep, maybe more.
It's where the market really is going, you know, and there's always one guy that dictates the market at every position, every year. There's a guy who will get paid, and EJ's, he's going to want top dollar. I don't know who will end up getting top dollar. But if somebody signs before he does, and they sign for some crazy amount of money, which typically we will hear a day before free agency even opens up, you'll hear some big contract, and you're like, "Woo, it hasn't even opened up yet, but they've agreed to terms or whatever the case may be." And then it sets the market for a guy like EJ, like it did last year for a guy like Robert Woods.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the numbers are just going up. I think we as fans now, people who are covering it, just have to get used to hearing these numbers and just hearing it go up. We go through this every year where it's like, man, they got that type of money? I'm sure the guys like Thurman and them are like, what? They are getting what?
It's not even the money that gets me. It's, you know, where it would put him. And I think Jannetty said, you know, EJ Gaines would be a top 10 paid corner in the league at that money. It's just, I don't know that I would value him at that, but, you know, it doesn't matter if that's what the market will bear. That's what somebody's going to pay him. That's what they'll get paid.
I mean, you're worth what a team or what somebody's going to pay you. And ultimately, because of where the market goes every year and because of the salary cap going up every year across the league, you just got to be able to live with, this is what we got to pay this guy. This is what we got to pay this position if we want a top-notch guy. And if you feel like EJ Gaines is a perfect fit for your defense, then you got to do what you got to do to keep him here.
I know. I nothing against EJ Gaines. It's just, I don't know if he's that guy, but he might wind up being that guy. Maybe Buffalo's first priority.
And it's all in timing.
Yep.
It really is. He had a good year. He has some injuries, and that's something that they're gonna talk about, obviously. But he had a good year, and the team is very good when he's in the lineup. You know, so because of that timing, because you don't have that many big-name free agents out there, some teams are going to go after EJ Gaines. And if you want to keep him here, you're going to have to entertain that. And that's why it's so important for them to try to get it done before free agency opens up.
Right.
You know, and hopefully if they do that, they can get him at their number. He and his agent are going to say, no, we want to wait until free agency and see what happens. Players do that, and typically – well, not typically, but sometimes they don't get what they expect. It's going to happen out there in the open market. They're like, man, I'm about to get paid. Then all of a sudden the team, you know, the highest you get is like $5 million or something like that. And then you're trying to come back to the Bills and see what's happening.
We got a lot to talk about. We'll take some of your phone calls when we return. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
If you just tuned into our show, you missed Lorenzo Alexander. He did an entertaining 20-minute segment with us. He and Donald behaved themselves for the most part.
For the most part.
Yeah. I feel like I need to broker peace between you two every time you're on.
We have fun.
Yes.
You know,
it's fun.
It really is fun.
He picks on you a little bit.
He tries to.
You are older than Lorenzo, right?
No.
Oh, that's it. Okay. That's a dynamic. He looks at you as his little brother.
Little
he
brother,
needs to,
yeah. Because he was picking on his little brother when we had him on.
Yeah.
You know, and it's because his little brother was a 3-star athlete.
Lorenzo
was a
5-star.
Something like that.
Yeah, you're considerably older.
I know, it's crazy. which lets you know that he's considerably older than me.
Lorenzo was on the show with us. You can pick that up on our website at buffalobills.com. And Mike Jannetty just did a solid segment with us about salary cap issues regarding the Buffalo Bills. Let's take a few phone calls if you have thoughts on that. Mark calling from Tonawanda. Hello, Mark. Welcome. You're on the air. Mark, are you there? Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I don't know if you're I'm watching a simulcast here.
Oh, thank you for watching the simulcast, Mark.
Yes. Hello. I love you guys, man. I watch you every day.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
And Murph, I'm glad you're a great replacement for the old Van Miller, Mr. Van Miller.
Thank you, Mark.
I've listened to him all the years I had season tickets for 18 years. And anyway, I'd like to make a statement about the last guest.
Okay.
And I was curious. I mean, the way teams value people according to money and their how important is it? I mean, the money and the years and the experience. I mean, it was interesting listening to that gentleman. I forgot his name.
Mike Jannetty.
Mike Jannetty. Go ahead, Mark.
Mark? Thanks, I guess. It was interesting listening to him. Kirk Cousins is the guy who could break the bank in this upcoming free agency a month from now, Donald. Some reports say some people speculate that Cousins could get more than $25 million a year. Garoppolo's average, $27.5 million. I don't think that's an answer for the Bills. That's a huge investment. I know there are some Kirk Cousins fans out there. I think he's pretty good. A huge investment for a guy who's not guaranteed, and at that money, you better be darn sure that he's the guy.
I think there are Kirk Cousins fans out there, because especially here, because he's on the open market, and he's the biggest name on the open market. He has produced. He has been over 4,000 yards for a few years in his career, and I get that. And I know the frustrations here and not having a franchise quarterback, but because of all of that combined is why you have some people on the Kirk Cousins bandwagon. I would be totally shocked if the Bills entertained what Kirk Cousins wants to get paid or what he will get paid, because there are other teams out there like the Jets, like the Browns, that have the money to truly break open the bank to get Kirk Cousins. And I just don't see the Bills wanting to get into that, because it's going to eat up what money you have in salary cap space.
Garoppolo averages out to $27.5 million a year. That's the average. We know that doesn't mean everything. If you're the agent for Kirk Cousins, you say, look, Garoppolo's done it for seven games. I've done it for a couple of years now.
Right.
You know, I've got a record here. It's not just a seven-game record like Garoppolo. Yet that would be the argument. I wouldn't fall for it, but that would be the argument.
That's definitely his argument. Somebody's going to go for it.
Yeah.
Like, this dude has been productive. He took that team to the playoffs. He's been productive for multiple years. Garoppolo, you talk about timing. I mean, you know, he got traded. Everybody was hot on him this time last year. Patriots didn't move on. Then they trade him to San Fran, and he makes plays, and now he gets paid. You know, so Kirk Cousins, looking at that contract, is going to say, yo, this dude, I've been doing it. I've been the starter for this team for a few years, and been putting up the numbers. I'm ready to get paid, even though he's already gotten paid. But I'm ready to do a long-term deal. I just see a team doing a deal like Garoppolo's deal, where it's totally front-loaded. He's going to get a big bonus up front, to where something like he makes $30, $40 million in his first 2 years or something like that, and then they'll have that option in year three or something like that if they want to continue to keep him or if they want to move on from him.
You know who's going
to
do it?
The Broncos.
I think the Jets.
The Jets can get in there too.
Yeah. Love to see the Jets take the plunge.
You think so?
I just like it. I'd like to see the Jets kind of screw that up.
They've screwed up their – they got a lot of money right now. They've had this type of situation in the past. The recent past, too, like where they had all of this money and they went and just spent it all in like one offseason.
Yeah.
And then they still didn't, you know, still didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah. We're going to break. We got more to talk about. We're going to talk about the Bills' defensive line when we return and how they're stacked up there. We're going to talk more about this issue. We've got plenty of phone lines open for you if you want to weigh in on the Bills' salary cap, what their plan is for free agency, big splash or not really. Give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550. And toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports.
Update from One Bills Drive. Around the National Football League today, the New York Jets have made official their naming of a new offensive coordinator. Jeremy Bates, who was their quarterback's coach this past season, replaces John Morton, who was fired after one season, and Bates will continue to coach the quarterback. Bates has been long rumored as the guy for the job. Jets are hoping Bates can help them sign prospective free agent quarterback Kirk Cousins. The two have a connection. Bates worked under Mike Shanahan in Denver, and Shanahan later became Cousins' first coach with the Washington Redskins. Also, the Jets announced that they have hired Rick Dennison, former Bills offensive coordinator, as their offensive line run game coordinator, and they've hired Steven Jackson as their assistant secondary coach. Arizona Cardinals happy to have Larry Fitzgerald back again. He's decided to continue his route to the Hall of Fame with a 15th season with the Cardinals in 2018. New Cardinals coach Steve Wilks made the announcement during an interview this morning. Fitzgerald's future has been the topic of speculation since last offseason when he did not outright address whether 2017 would be his final year or final year in the league. The questions concerning his future ramped up in the days following Arizona's 8-8 season after coach Bruce Arians retired on January 1st and Carson Palmer retired a day later. Larry Fitzgerald will turn 35 years old in training camp this year, and there's a chance to reach second on the NFL's all-time receiving yards and receptions list. He will go back to the Arizona Cardinals for at least one more year. Oakland Raiders have decided to part ways with veteran kicker Sebastian Janikowski, the veteran left-footed place kicker. He's been told they do not plan to bring him back for the 2018 season. Janikowski, the Raiders' all-time leading scorer, spent last season on injured reserve. He will turn 40 years old on March 2nd and will be an unrestricted free agent. And the Buffalo Sabres in Ottawa tonight for a 7:30 faceoff against the Ottawa Senators. Sabres goaltenders have had some success against Ottawa. Robin Leonard is 5-0-2 in 9 career appearances. Chad Johnson, 2-2 against the Senators. Faceoff, 7:30 tonight. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio as we roll into Hour 3 of the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. Good afternoon to you, Donald. Great to be with you again today. How are you doing?
Good to be with you. Good to be back in the saddle.
Yeah.
You ready for this event later?
Yeah, we should talk about that. We got Fred Jackson's the WGR Celebrity Roast of Fred Jackson coming up tonight. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there.
I'll be there, but I'll just be there. You actually have to.
I have a minor role to play, a role that got a little bit smaller over the last few weeks. But my role is to introduce Ryan Fitzpatrick. You should do that, by the way. He's your former quarterback.
I mean, I should have. I got the invite late, you know, so. To those who are listening, I just got the invite maybe 2 weeks ago. And I think this thing is, because I would hear people, you talk about it, and I'm like, okay. So all of these people around the building are going to this event. Some who don't know Fred.
Yes.
I actually played with Fred, and I wasn't even invited to this thing. And then I got the late invite, like, oh, yeah, Donald. I don't want to be the fallback guy. Don't make me the fallback guy.
Who gave you the invite?
Who gave me?
I mean,
I think you might have been the first one to say something.
I think I said, "Are you going?" I just assumed that with your relationship with Fred, you were probably going.
It's crazy, right?
What do you need? You need an engraved invitation? We request the honor of your presence.
If I just show up, then what? Then they'd be like, "Oh yeah, you don't have a ticket."
You could show up. You're Donald Jones.
This is crazy, man. You know,
get over yourself. It's not about you. It's about Fred Jackson tonight.
It's about me not being invited.
It's not always about you. No, but you're going, and you'll enjoy it. And you'll have a lot of former teammates there. Fitzpatrick will be there. Brian Scott will be there.
Yeah, Aaron Williams.
Aaron Williams will be there.
Fred's brother, who I know as well.
Yeah, his twin brother. Yeah. You'll be in your element.
I will. Did you say Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I did say Fitz. I'm introducing Fitz, yes.
Oh, yeah, you are introducing Fitz, which will be funny.
I hope. I haven't really done anything. I have nothing on paper, but I'll get something together between now and
I mean, typically, when you write things down, especially for when you're trying to be funny, for me, I know when I do public speaking, like I write some things down, but it's better for me to just wing it.
Me too.
You know, it just comes off better. When you're trying to write things down and you're trying to follow something, you keep looking at the paper and all of that stuff, and it doesn't come off natural. And especially when you're trying to be funny and it's crickets. And then they give you the old fake laugh or clap or something like that.
Yeah. You know, I'm counting on the other speakers for the most part.
Eric Wood, too.
Eric Wood, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not professional speakers. You know what I mean? How funny are they going to be? You know, you kind of look around the room. What's my competition here?
Yeah.
Nothing against those guys. And they're all going to be funny and they're all going to kill it. But really, as I panicked this morning, like, oh, my God, you haven't done anything to get ready for this. I thought, wait a minute. Well, look at the field, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The one thing that they will have are some very I guess intimate stories.
If they're willing to tell
them. If they're willing to tell those stories.
Yes.
Now, did they have one for Marty last year?
I did not go.
You did not go.
I went to Mike Robitaille's. It was an actual roaster a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, with Marty's, I remember they came back with all of the different stories and I'm like, "Ooh, I don't never want to be the subject of a roast because there's some things I just don't want people to know.
You don't want to know. You don't want to talk about. But right. It should be fun tonight, I think.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Yeah. Fred Jackson roast coming up tonight. Hey, we're talking about free agency. We're a month away from free agency. We had Mike Giannini in last hour from SpotTrack.com to talk about it. And I'd like to talk to you about it. Our Twitter poll deals with free agency. According to Mike Giannitti and SpotRack, the Bills are right in the middle of the pack. They have $29.3 million available in cap space this year. Again, in the middle of the pack, 16th in the NFL. Should they make a big splash in free agency? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it on Twitter. That's our Twitter poll. Should the Bills make a big splash in free agency? Right now on Twitter, 55% of you say nope, don't bother. 45% of you say yes, go ahead, do it. Let's hear from you on the telephone line about this issue. Chris calling from West Seneca. Hello, Chris. Welcome.
How's it going today, John?
It's going well.
Yeah, I was just calling. I was going to say, I don't think they're going to probably make a big splash, but I was thinking, you think they're going to re-sign Preston Brown or no?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. We don't know. Talking to Giannitti, and Donald and I have talked about it for a couple of days. We did linebackers yesterday, right? We talked a lot about Preston Brown. I don't think he's their top priority. My guess is E.J. Gaines is probably a higher priority, followed by Preston Brown to try to get him signed. But I'm sure they have a number in mind for Preston Brown that they're not going to go over, and whether or not the market pushes his number up beyond what the Bills are willing to pay, we'll see. What do you think, Donald?
I agree. I think they'll let Preston kind of hit the market and see what he can get out there. And if he doesn't get what he thinks he deserves, then you'll go at him in that second kind of wave. I think they might offer him something to initially.
Yeah, just to get the dialogue
going.
Sure.
Just to get that dialogue going. They might offer him something, but I think Preston will say, you know what, I'll just wait and because whatever they offer him before free agency, it's not typically going to be what you want. I mean, that's just the way the business works. They're trying to get you before you hit the open market, and the market dictates where you get to, right, and give you some sort of, I guess, a hometown discount is what people would like to say. So my guess is they'll offer him something, won't be what he likes. He's going to say, I want to hit the market and see what I can get out there. If he doesn't get what he thinks he deserves, then maybe he'll stay here because of that comfort level.
I think it's pretty clear, and certainly Preston is smart to do it this way, but it's pretty clear that Preston Brown has, for a while now, and I'm talking about a year now, known that he was going to hit the open market, or he was going to have a chance to hit the open market, and has prepared himself for that. When you look at, you know, hiring a nutritionist to live with him this offseason, and staying away from the candy and being as productive as he was on the field, he's no dummy. He knew this was his year. This past season was his year, and he has made his statement on the field, and it's a pretty good statement. What was that little movie you just made?
I'm not sure.
I never saw that one. But he's made a statement on the field, pretty good statement, pretty compelling argument that should set him up for getting some offers out there. And I think the Bills are prepared for that, too. That's the way the system works.
Yeah, he's definitely set himself up. But my thing is, and you typically, I mean, sometimes guys will get signed because they are a perfect, the coach there and the organization feels like they are a perfect fit. When you think of it, and this is no knock on Preston Brown. Preston Brown is a very good player. And I'm sure Preston Brown is trying to get top linebacker money, which I think Mike might have said it was somewhere $9, $10 million or something like that a year. When you think middle linebackers throughout the league, does Preston Brown's – now, people here are going to say, yeah, I mean, because you know Preston Brown. But if you were somewhere on the West Coast, would you know who Preston Brown is? Would you? If your team signed him up for $10 million, you'd be like, who? They just signed up who? And like I said, I don't want to really throw shade at Preston Brown. It might sound like that. But I think the Bills might feel like they might be able to get better at that position or get faster at that position. And Mike talked about the middle linebacker position across the league not, I don't want to say being as important, but they are expendable. You know, you can find those guys maybe later in the draft or in the draft, or you can find those guys on day two, day three, week two of free agency, because we know now where the league is going in terms of passing. The outside linebackers are very important. You got to have guys that can cover. And it seems like the outside linebacker position is changing. You have safeties that are these hybrid type of guys that are coming down in the box, and they just seem to be more important than the middle linebacker position. But it's still important to have the good middle linebacker. It's still important to have a Preston Brown or a Luke Kuechly or one of these very – Patrick Willis when he was there. One of these very good middle linebackers that can really stop some things up the middle, and the quarterback of the defense, a smart guy. But in terms of money, where does that fall? You know, how much are you paying a guy just because he's smart?
Let's take a call from Peter in California. Hello, Peter. Welcome to the show.
Hi. It was actually Caesar, but it's okay.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's fine. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Long-time listener, second-time caller. Great. So you guys are going to have to hear me out a little bit. So maybe as far as a quarterback, maybe they go after Jay Cutler or since Fitzpatrick's going to be out there today, maybe just sign him and keep him out there.
Jay Cutler. Wait,
no,
Jay Cutler.
No, I was just kidding on that.
I'm like, what?
Okay, thank you for just kidding on that.
I mean, the team did, you know, they went 9-7 with Taylor. If they could settle down, you know, re-sign some players, bring in some players through the draft and settle this team down, I mean, I would have the patience to hold on to Taylor. And then, like everyone's saying, next year they're going to have the cap space and splash out on a quarterback because then the team will be settled in. We're going to have contracts. We're not going to have to worry about that. Some we're going to get rid of. And then we could go after a Nick Foles because, you know, in a year from now, I'm pretty sure they're going to want to offload. They're not going to be able to afford, you know, Foles and Wentz. And then we could go after them and we're going to have more cap room to bring them in or another, you know, high caliber quarterback because at that time we'll be kind of settled down, you know, in Buffalo. I mean, it's just my opinion. I would like to hear what you guys got to say. And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Thanks for calling all the way from California. That's one way to do it, you know, to wait and to bite the bullet and keep Tyrod around. It doesn't seem likely. We've talked about this at length on the show based on, you know, the signal sent out by the regime here back in November of last year. It doesn't seem likely that they're willing to hang around and to, you know, bide their time with Tyrod Taylor, does it?
It doesn't. It seems like they would be more willing to move on from Tyrod Taylor. At this point, we could be totally wrong. They could try to – Mike Jannetty talked about they could try to restructure again.
He was talking about
like
a trade
that.
Pretty heavily, though.
Yeah, he said you could sign him and trade him, or you could try to restructure him again.
Yeah.
To keep him here. He was more on the Tyrod Taylor bandwagon on that one.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of, like, signing him and trying to trade him, it's easier for the Bills to do that than the reports from Washington, from the Redskins, trying to – franchise tag Kirk Cousins and then trade him, because most teams are not trying to take on that type of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless they are truly, truly feel like Kirk Cousins is our guy, we can afford to have that type of money. And you have some teams with a lot of cap space, so maybe they will. But I think that Tyrod's a lot easier to do that with, and so maybe that will be something that they do.
Take a call here from Rick calling from Warsaw, New York. Good afternoon, Rick. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us.
Hey, John. Hey, Donald. How you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a avid listener. I've been listening to you for many years, you and Howard Simon. I'm currently an unemployed chef here in Warsaw, and used to reside in Las Vegas.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, you got your show out there for the last 10 years.
Okay.
Like I said, I've been following the Bills for years, and you guys have done a great job of keeping me up to breast. I'm just wondering, what can we do about quarterback this year?
Mm-hmm. Well, they can do a lot. I mean, we've talked about this, Donald, and Jannetty talked about it. There's a lot of it's a weird year for quarterbacks with the you know, first of all, already it started, right, with the big money for Garoppolo and the trade for Alex Smith, and there's a chance
right.
that there's some big-name guys in a fairly big-name guys getting out there on free agency, the trio of Minnesota Vikings among them. A.J. McCarron's future is in doubt right now. Kirk Cousins is going to be almost certain to be a free agent. And there's a decent, I didn't say great, but a decent crop of rookie quarterbacks coming in, at least four of them who are likely first-rounders. So, you know, the door is wide open for the Bills on their quarterback decision. I have no insight into which way they're going to go.
That's great to hear. Their draft picks on that. I'm just hoping that they actually get someone for the future. I mean, it seems like we're asking the same question this time every year.
Yeah, I mean, I get your frustration. The Bills aren't the only team that are asking the same question. There are teams out there that have drafted guys early in the draft and they're still asking the same question, you know? So, I mean, it's these quarterbacks are not – they're not – there aren't a crop of great quarterbacks coming out of the draft every year. And typically the good quarterbacks don't hit the free agent market because teams don't want to let them out the building, right? So, for me,
you can get one like San Fran got in terms of a trade, and hopefully you can make that happen, or you can find a bridge guy in terms of free agency. But ultimately, you got to draft your guy. Your franchise quarterback for the next 10, maybe 15 years is a guy that you have to draft. So I think in terms of free agency, don't look to make the big splash. Look to get a guy in here who can win you some games and then try to draft a guy that you feel like, man, in the future, he could be the franchise guy.
I think it's important, too, Donald, to say this. It's the fact that you're really need a quarterback, you really want a quarterback, you've waited years and years to find the answer a quarterback – doesn't mean you reach for a quarterback.
Right.
And if it takes another year, it's difficult to say. You know, they made the playoffs with 9 wins this year, and things got kind of fun for a little while there. Even without the ultimate answer, a quarterback, you can win a little bit. I think the Bills demonstrated that. It doesn't. If you reach for it, like they did with E.J. Manuel in the draft that year, was he the best quarterback coming out in 2013? He probably was. Was he a franchise quarterback? Absolutely not. There hasn't been a guy coming out in 2013 who's really outperformed him at the quarterback spot. But if you reach for him, you know, mid-first round in EJ's case, you know, you could be disappointed. You got to have a real strong conviction. Now, I'm not saying don't draft him, but draft him when, you know, it's right, when the value is there. And if it has to be 21st or 22nd in the first round or one of those second-round picks, good, use it then. But don't force the issue is basically what I'm trying to say. Don't force it. And I think you get into trouble when you do that.
You do. And
no matter how frustrated you might be.
I'm telling you, so many people want the team to trade up and trade everything away. But you trade up and trade everything away for a guy that you don't know is going to pan out in the NFL, that's tough. Because then you'll still be in the same position next year. Like, we need a quarterback. We need a franchise quarterback. And you just traded away your entire draft where you can help out the rest of your team get better.
Let's go to Toby in Tonawanda. Hello, Toby.
Hey, Murph. How are you today?
We're great here. Thank you.
Good. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Excellent.
Yeah, I've just been listening to what you guys have just been saying while I've been on hold, and I got to say I agree 100%. No need to go out there and waste all that currency we got. We got a proven starter in Tyrod. I say we just keep him here. We give him another maybe year or two and just wait for the right guy to come along. No need to just you know, overlook all these holes we have. We got to stick with Tyrod, I think.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that, by the way, but I know the argument for that, and I understand the argument for that. I guess Donald and I have said for a while here that the signal they sent last November indicates to me, and I'm pretty sure to Donald, that that's not the path they want to take, that they want to get better than Tyrod, and they want to do it immediately. I mean, to the point where they sat him down on a 5-4 team in a playoff berth last November. They could do that. The door's not closed there. They could do it that way. I'd be surprised if they did it that way. I don't know how that would go over among the fan base, which is not the reason for making that decision. But I'd be surprised if it went that way. You?
I'd be surprised if they keep him here.
Yeah.
Like for the next few years. I'd be surprised if they do that. When they sat him down, I think they sent the message to him, and they had already made up in their mind that, you know, we won't be having you here next year. Now, we might re-sign you to trade you, but or pick up that option to trade you, but I don't think they want Tyrod Taylor to be the quarterback for the next 5 years.
Here's a call from Brad in Rochester. Go ahead, Brad. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. I love the big splash. When they signed Mario and even T.O. for a year, those are two of the better days as a Bills fan the past decade, I'd have to say. It was pretty exciting times.
It was, Brad, but let me just stop you there. How did it work out?
No, it didn't work out that great. I mean, Mario had some good seasons here. And,
yeah.
You know, that showed on the rest of the defensive line. Jerry Hughes' sack numbers have dropped, actually, since he's been gone. I like Mario. I thought T.O. for the year that he was here, we needed something just to excite the fan base a little bit. So it was exciting those 2 days. As far as big splash this year, because I called the talk small splash, actually, the only big splash I would want him to make is if they're not going to try to move up the board to get one of those top three quarterbacks, which I don't think they're going to, I have no problem with him signing Kirk Cousins. I think his statistics are decent. I think he's a level above Tyrod, and I think that's all his team might need moving forward to be a playoff team every year for at least the next 4 to 6 years. But I'm calling to talk small splash. And reason being, Shady was healthy almost all of last year, wasn't an issue, but the backup running back spot always bothered me with Tolbert. I thought that was the worst roster decision they made all season watching him play. And Travaris Cadet is still here. And he's a free agent, and I'm thinking they can get him on the cheap, and I would love to see him come back if his heel or his ankle is healed up 100%. Would love to see him signed to a decent deal where it's not going to cost a lot of money, and we got him as our backup running back. And I also would like to see Marcus Murphy in camp this year, because the game he did play, he was averaging, I believe, like 4 yards a carry, and I liked what I saw from him. And I was disappointed that Dennison didn't play him in that final playoff game at all. They kept putting Tolbert out there. So Kadet I'd like to sign, and I'd like to have Marcus Murphy here in camp battling, because I can't stomach Tolbert being our backup running back again next year.
Okay, we'll see if that happens. I don't know that that will be the path they take. Kadet, of course, has some pretty serious rehab going on. In fact, we see him almost every day out here working.
Yeah, we see him out here. I think the backup running back position is something that they need to address.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's Kadet, Marcus Murphy, one of those guys I think should be on the roster. One of them. And I think they need to bring somebody else in here. And that's through the draft, through free agency. I don't think the free agent guys who are out there on the free agent market, it might be a couple of them that might get some millions, but I think you draft one and not go with somebody in the free agency. Get a guy who's young, you know, a kid that's coming in here eager, willing to do whatever, shows you he can catch out of the backfield, he can run in between the tackles, he can also play special teams for you. And you saw that with Corey Clement with Philadelphia, had some big plays in the Super Bowl for them. I think they need to go ahead and draft one this year. I don't know where that might be, because you can get those guys in the fifth, sixth round, seventh round, sometimes even undrafted. But I do think they need to draft one.
Let's take a call here from Tom in Tonawanda. Tom, welcome. You're on the air with us. Go ahead, Tom.
Murph, how are you today?
Okay.
All right. First time caller, long time listener. I wanted to call with the trade for last year with the draft pick, Tre'Davious White. I would have been comfortable taking him with our first overall pick that we did end up trading away. I think for his extra currency, that's just a bonus. Let's use it. Let's trade up. Let's get our guy this year.
Yeah, but is there a guy that you feel strong enough that you want to use their currency on?
I like Rosen, Murph.
I'm sorry?
No, I like Rosen. I'll try it out. I want to at least, you know what, if we don't take a shot, we'll never know.
That's kind of risky. I hear what you're saying, and I'm inclined to agree with you that Rosen is the best of this group. Is he good enough to merit, you know, giving up your draft? Now, you won't have to give up the entire draft to move up, but you'll have to give up a lot, you know, and I'm not sure that he's worth that. I don't know any of those guys are worth that. He is probably the best of this group. He's probably going to be a, you know, fairly successful NFL quarterback, Josh Rosen. I've done a couple of days' worth of video study this week on him, and like him. Don't love him. You know, like him.
I look at it like this, and I know every team is different. Every team has a different evaluation on a kid, and I get that. But when you look at all of the teams in the top 10, why would any of those teams trade out of those spots? I mean, when you really, truly think about it, the Browns need somebody. The Giants need somebody. The only one you can think of is the Colts, and they don't even know what's going on with their quarterback right now.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're getting advice from their medical staff or whatever the case may be, but we'll hear about that in the upcoming months. But Denver needs somebody. I mean, there's so many teams that need a quarterback. Why would they trade back? I don't even the Giants, you think about them, and Eli's going to be there. They know Eli's not going to be there the next 10 years. So if you're looking at one of these guys and everybody feels so strongly about these guys, we might as well go ahead and draft one of these guys.
Yeah.
And why would we trade back? I mean, it doesn't make sense to do that.
There's a call from Trent in Rochester. Go ahead, Trent. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me.
Sure.
You know, the projected cap, I believe that number is going to move up and be a lot bigger than what it is now. I don't believe the Bills are going to get too crazy in free agency because they do have some of their own guys. But I really do believe that because we're talking about Dean and McDermott, something is going to happen that we weren't expecting. And that's the thing that's exciting for me as a fan about the process. This process, there's no way to keep track of what's going to happen based on last year. But I do feel good about knowing that whatever they do, it's going to be apparent that it's for the better of the team. So that has me a little bit excited. And, again, I think they're going to have a little more money to spend than what is the projection, guys? What is it, $29 million?
$29 million, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you figure, let's say they cut Tyrod. I think that will give them another 10. If they do some willing and dealing, they could end up with a healthy offseason cap number. But even with that, I do not believe they're going to go crazy. I just think that we're going to get some solid players. You know, I believe after June 1st, there's going to be some casualties. So it'll be interesting to see. But one of the things I'm hoping that they'll do is that we'll end up with a surprise stud Pro Bowl type right tackle or something like that.
Wow.
So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Thanks, Trent. And I think you're onto something there, Donald. We've talked for months now about the unpredictability of McDermott and Bean. They demonstrated that back on draft day last April, at least McDermott did, and then with the trades they made during the course of the season. I think Trent's right. Something is going to happen, I think, between now and the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Something big. The Bills will do something big, whether it's a trade to get more picks maybe or whether it's a trade up in the draft. I don't know how likely that is, but I'm pretty confident that they are formulating plans right now for a kind of a big, bold move to make this team better, not just this year, by the way, you know, maybe for the future. Maybe they make a move to get picks for next year.
I mean, they're making plans right now, and there are going to be some things that will – some plans made at the combine.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at all of those coaches and they're sitting up there, yeah, they're evaluating these kids, but the GMs, they're talking about different things that, hey, man, if we give you so-and-so,
yeah,
what would you give us in return? I mean, that's what happens at the combine. You get to rub elbows with each other and really talk about everything that's about to happen in free agency and in the draft. So, yeah, I wouldn't doubt that there's going to be a big move. I don't think it's going to be a big splash free agent. I think it's going to be some trades and things that people are like, whoa, you just traded so-and-so. You got more draft picks or something like that.
Something like that. Should the Bills make a big splash in free agency? Give us your thoughts on that. Lines open 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. And what's the picture look like on the Buffalo defensive line? We'll take a look at that when we come back. It is the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
John Murphy and Donald Jones from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, here until 3 o'clock today. Another show coming up tomorrow. If you don't like today's show, try us again tomorrow. If you do like today's show, you can hear portions of it back on our website, buffalobills.com. We don't like to just talk about quarterbacks, do we? That's my thing. I don't like to do the whole show every day, 365 days.
You're saying the same thing.
Right. We are.
The same thing over and over and over. You get fans that call in, they're like, hey, man, we should trade for such and such, just throwing darts.
We need some clarity in quarterbacks to talk about it intelligently, but we'll talk about quarterback. We do want to talk about other position groups, though, right?
Yeah.
Defensive linemen.
D-line today. That's an important group. Probably the most, I would think, the most important, aside from the quarterback, the most important group, second, and I said this yesterday, a close second would be D-line.
I think it's the neediest group the Bills have right now as far as need to make some decisions, need to come up with some answers. So let's start with the defensive line. What we have, what we need, let's start about who might not be back. And obviously you know this guy, Kyle Williams, who is going into his unrestricted free agent year. Kyle Williams will become an unrestricted free agent March 14th. Cedric Thornton will become an unrestricted free agent March 14th. For Kyle Williams, you know, it's kind of a two-way street, Donald. Do the Bills want him back? You would think so. Does Kyle want to come back? We don't have the answer to that. I would think so. What do you think?
I would think with the season they just had that Kyle would want to come back here. Now, obviously, you got to figure out the money situation. His deal would be, I don't know, probably a two-year deal to spread out money or whatever the case may be. That's really a one-year deal, but he has to – You come off the season you just had, and you say to yourself, man, that was a great season. We made it to the playoffs for the first time in my career. My career here is a Bill. And most teams could say, you know, we're moving up. We're definitely moving up. I'd be hard-pressed to make an argument that with so many free agents right now that you're in a position to say you're only going to get better next year. You know, because you don't know who your quarterback is going to be. I mean, there are a lot of unknowns on this team, a lot of holes on this team. You think they're going to pull it together, and maybe they can. Maybe they'll have a lot better record than they did this year. But, I mean, these are all of the things that Kyle has to think about before deciding if he wants to come back. I don't think we'll get his decision for a little while. I think he will wait and see what decisions they make in terms of free agency and stuff.
Don't you
like
think
that.
They'll pressure him? What's your plan? What are you thinking here? Here's what we're thinking before they get to free agency, because it impacts what they're doing in free agency. It impacts how the draft strategy would be. No,
I guess you have to business. It makes business sense to pressure him and try to get him to make a decision, especially money. It does impact. And on his side of things, I mean, if he does say, I want to wait and see what decisions you make, if they go out and spend some money in free agency and then they don't have enough money to pay him, then what? Now he's stuck out of, at least out of Buffalo, you know. So on both sides, you could have a decision coming here soon, an announcement or whatever the case may be on if he's going to be here or not. But, you know, Kyle has to – he has to truly talk to his family and figure that out.
The one thing, and this is difficult to say, everybody loves Kyle. We are now removed, what, 6 weeks from the end of the season and the playoff run and the emotions associated with that. And he – let's face it, he was the face of the end of the playoff drought.
He was.
He was. You got to divorce yourself from all that sentiment.
You do.
And it's difficult to do.
I mean, what is he, 13 years in?
He'll go into his 13th season. He's 34. He'll be 35. I'm not saying divorce yourself from the intangibles he brings, the leadership, the character, you know, the great veteran presence he adds. That's part of his package. But the emotion of what a great guy and finally rewarded, you got to, if you're making decisions for the team, for the future of the team, you got to put that over here. You got to divorce yourself.
And that's why Bill Belichick has been a great coach for so long. And it's not just decisions he makes during a game and stuff like that. He runs football operations over there in New England, right? And he has had to do that with guys like Vince Wilfork and guys who the fan base truly reveres and loves. But he has to make those decisions and not let emotion get involved at all. You can't think about, man, this guy's been so good for us or any of that stuff. You got to make a business decision. That's what it comes down to. Business, and does this make our team better?
Yeah, including Kyle's off-field package, his leadership, right. Yeah. So that's one. The other one, Cedric Thornton made essentially the veteran minimum one-year deal last year, $775,000, had good moments. Be nice to bring back. They're certainly not going to break the bank to bring back Cedric Thornton. But
yeah,
there
I don't
he
think
is.
So.
Now, who do they got under contract? Well, as far as defensive tackles under contract, Adolphus Washington remains really the most prominent one under contract. There's some defensive ends there, too. Jerry Hughes still under contract. Shaq Lawson, we tend to forget about him. Ryan Davis, Shaq, by the way, still on his rookie deal, so he's affordable. Like they get a full year out of him and get more production. Ryan Davis had good moments. Cap Cappy had some snaps last year. Eddie Yarbrough is a exclusive rights free agent, but they can deal with that pretty easily. I would think they'd want him back. So those are the guys who are, you know, under contract now. Probably you would think most of them will be back, wouldn't you think? I would think so.
I would think
you know, Cap you don't Cappy know about the Cap Cappies of the
world.
Yeah,
you don't know the Cap Cappies or even Ryan Davis.
Yeah.
But you would think most of those guys, yeah, you're going to bring back here. But I think they're going to create some competition. Let's just say that. They're going to draft some guys. They're going to bring some guys in via free agency and truly create some competition. And I think that's a position, especially the defensive tackle position, is a position where they will want to really upgrade.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they got to get better.
Yeah.
They're not just creating competition here.
That's what I was saying. Like, you're going to create competitions all across that D-line, but the D-tackle position is a position you might go out and spend some money at or draft somebody really high to get better at that position.
So what about free agency? Who's out there? Defensive linemen out there. We talked about what we have, what we need. I think we both agree they need more players up front. There's some interesting defensive tackle talent. I don't know if any of these guys are – kind of in the Bills market, Sheldon Richardson, Dontari Poe, Haloti Ngata, Nick Fairley, Justin Ellis, Dominic Easley. You don't want to break the bank for a defensive tackle, and you don't need to either, I don't think. But you'd like to get better there. I mean, anybody there interest you, Donald? Anybody there you think the Bills absolutely have to go out and get?
Was it interesting when Mike Gennetti started talking about the Seahawks possibly parting ways with all those guys?
Yeah.
I mean, their linebackers, their Michael Bennett, their defensive ends, all of those guys.
That was interesting.
And who knows? Maybe all of them will come free and they'll be able to bring some of those guys over here. But the names on that list, D-tackle, I mean, Haloti Ngata has been a guy who's been good for most of his career. Dontari Poe has really been up and down throughout his career. There aren't many guys on that list that you could say, man, you got to pay him a crazy amount of money to come here.
Yeah.
So when you look at it like that, you could say to yourself, yeah, you can bring one of those guys or two of those guys over here. You're not paying them whatever the top defensive tackle money is.
A couple of others I neglected to mention still are in the contract. Ricky Hatley, who played a little bit last year, Markavius Lewis. And defensive end talent. Now, this is where I think they really need an upgrade. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some names on the defensive end list and free agents, top free agents available. Some of them are interesting. Ziggy Ansah from the Lions, I think, is an outstanding player who'll probably command a lot of money. Coney Ealy, who's now bounced around a little bit, right? Carolina, a little short stint with the Patriots and finished up with the Jets. Julius Peppers, nope, too old. Dwight Freeney, nope, too old. Ziggy Ansah is the most interesting name there, but I have a feeling Ziggy Ansah would command a pretty high salary. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's going to get paid. He's going to be one of the top guys, I would think, on the market, in that position, one of the top guys on the market, and he's going to get some money. But we keep talking about E.J. Gaines, Preston Brown. We know how they want to put pressure on quarterbacks. We know that. We know how they want their defensive system to work. We know it's up front. We know it's the front four. They want to be able to get pressure with the front four. So if they're going to spend money in free agency, EJ Gaines is important, but you need to get better. You want to be able to sack the quarterback. You want to be able to consistently put pressure, and you don't want teams to be able to run on you. Like we had that three-game period where teams were just running the ball all over you. You know, what was that the Saints ran? Like how many straight rushing plays? I mean, that's something that will stick in their minds throughout this entire process. I don't care if it wasn't the entire season. There was a period where a team actually ran the ball a crazy amount of times.
Like 13 straight runs or something like that.
That is not good. When you're a defensive-minded head coach and a defensive coordinator, I mean, that's like somebody open-hand slapping you in the face over and over and over again to where it just stings, you know? So I think that's something that they're going to want to get better at. Across the board, defensive end and defensive tackle.
Greg in Rochester has some thoughts on the Bills' defensive line needs. Greg, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Hi, guys. I'm going to try as best I can to create lucid thoughts here. I think where everything hinges on is with Marcell Dareus and when we let him go. If you looked at the time at the beginning of the season when he was playing alongside Kyle Williams, the turnovers were coming like crazy, and that's because they were getting so much pressure up front. And with the secondary we have, they were just grabbing the ball right back and putting it into the offensive hands. And I think they need to find a guy that is as close to Marcell Dareus, talent, size, whatever, as they can, and draft him and put him right next to Kyle Williams and bring that sort of dynamic back because, you know, you can have this been proven, I think, in the past, I believe, that you don't have to have the greatest of quarterbacks as long as you have a strong presence in other parts of the team. So that's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, Marcell Dareus types are tough to find, and the issue with Marcell was not really talent at all. It was attitude and approach and commitment, you know, to being around here, to staying healthy and being around here. Yeah, if you can, you know, he was a third overall pick in the draft. So obviously, people knew he had talent. He has a ton of talent. And we've talked about this. I always root for Marcell to pull it together and be as good as he can be. Unfortunately, it's not going to be for the Buffalo Bills. But sure, find me the next Marcell Dareus. I'd pay attention. I'd be interested.
Yeah, sign me up for that one. You can find another one that with the same skill set as Marcell Dareus. Yeah, I definitely want something like that. And hopefully, you can find that guy through the draft.
Yeah. So you can get him on. The problem with Marcell became his contract and his approach, right? Mm-hmm. His commitment to the process, as
exactly.
They say. All right, we're going to take a break. We're coming back in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned is presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security. Home Theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had a good show today. Lorenzo Alexander joined us in the first hour of the show. Bills linebacker. He talked to us about his experiences, all the many times he's been a free agent looking for a job in the NFL. Here's what Lorenzo said about that.
It's exciting. It's nerve-wracking. It's stressful. It's a lot of different emotions that are kind of, you know, bottled up into the experience. You know, because it depends on how long you've been in a place. You know, when I was in Washington, I had played there for 7 years. So I really didn't want to leave because you got to go to a new team, you know, a new city, meet new people. So you're kind of thrown out of your comfort zone. But at the same time, you're trying to maximize your contract value because you know that this may be your last. You may not play next year. You might get hurt. And you know, you're trying to weigh all that stuff, listen to your wife, see where your kids are at, and it's just a hard decision.
Lorenzo Alexander on his free agency experiences. We had Mike Jannetty in from SpotTrack.com, the website that chronicles salary cap issues, contract issues. Mike Jannetty says, all right, the Bills have some issues on the salary cap in 2018, but next year, 2019, here's what he says about the cap outlook for Buffalo then.
They're in great shape. The you know, barring any gigantic releases or trades this year that would push dead cap into next year, you know, that's where they're going to be really healthy. And, you know, we talk about health in terms of financial health at SpotTrack. They're setting themselves up to take their lumps last year and this year in terms of the dead cap. That's why we see them so high right now. They shouldn't have to move that much into next year. They should be able to be fully equipped with, you know, $85 million of cap space, barring whatever signings they do this year. But they should be in good shape. I'm sure that the structure this year is don't overspend on anybody right now, because anybody we overspend on right now is money we're not going to be able to roll into next year.
Mike Jannetty, his outlook on what the future cap implications are for the Buffalo Bills, and makes a pretty good point there. Taking their lumps this year and last year, dead cap. They lead the league in dead cap money going into this 2018 season. The bulk of that, Marcell Dareus, you know. You take your lumps, deal with the dead cap, and you squeeze into the playoffs. Not a bad deal.
Not a bad deal. I mean,
they get ready for a big run in a year or two.
The crazy thing is people thought that they were going to tank, you know, and they didn't tank, which now people are probably like, you should have tanked the season. You can't please everybody, you know, because everybody still wants a quarterback. You should have tanked. If you would have tanked the season, then you'd be sitting in perfect position for a quarterback. But they made the playoffs.
You sound like Eddie Murphy right there.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
You know, Eddie Murphy will do imitations of what white people sound like. That's what you just sounded like. Do that again.
I can't do it again now. Put me on the spot. I just think they did a great job of moving on from the guys that they wanted to move on from, trying to create some salary cap space, which they were able to do, and win at the same time, you know. And so now you sit in a position where you have some guys leaving out the door, and you're going to have to take some bumps, some lumps, however you want to put it, but you still can make it work. You just got to be creative with it.
So a month away from free agency, we put the question to you, and we took a lot of phone calls on this, a lot of tweets on this. Our Twitter poll: should the Bills be major players? Should they make a big splash in free agency this coming season? And we're talking about a month from now. On Twitter, 55% of you, and I think this is testament to the smart fans that we have on this show. With 1,200 votes in, 55% of you said, nope, don't need to make a big splash. 45% of you said, yeah. In fact, one caller said, it's fun to make a big splash. It was fun when they signed Mario Williams. It was fun when they signed Terrell Owens. What was the upshot, though? What did they get out of it? I think most fans are like,
saying, like, you've been doing big splash moves for the last however many years, trying to satisfy the fan base, because the fan base want to have fun. I want to be, man, what? They just signed so-and-so. You know, no, you got to make calculated moves, calculated risks, instead of the big splash free agents giving somebody $100 million. I mean, teams aren't doing that. Teams are giving quarterbacks big money, but everybody else, you gotta fight and scratch and claw for this thing if you want to be a every year playoff contending team. You got to do it the right way. That's build through the draft, and that's find you some extra pieces through free agency, some of which you might have to pay a little bit of money, but you're not breaking the bank open for these guys.
And, you know, that not avoiding the big splash, avoiding the temptation to make a big splash to mollify the fans, I think goes to building a sustainable model for success.
Yeah.
It's one thing to make a big splash, look at the shiny new toy we have to play with this year, but these guys, I believe, McDermott and Bean, want to build a sustainable model of success to be good this year, which they were pretty good last year, and be good this coming year, and be pretty good next year, and eventually win a championship. And that requires some measure of patience.
It does.
We talked about it yesterday, and we talked about, there's two things going on here. We got the draft 2 months away and free agency a month away. You can make a big splash in the draft, too, trade all your picks, move up maybe and get one of those premier quarterbacks. Is that really what's going to be a sustainable model of success? Is that really the best course of action? Maybe not. Might be more fun in April and March if they make
it.
It'd
be fun
move.
If they did that and everybody's excited about, man, we got this quarterback. But guess what? You don't have anything else now.
Yeah.
Nobody else on the team. You got 18 free agents who might all walk out the door. You have nothing else on your team. So now what? You got this quarterback and nobody around him that you can actually work with. So you got to look at the big picture before just wanting to make the big splash moves, free agency and in the draft.
All right, we're back tomorrow. We're going to the Fred Jackson roast tonight.
We are.
Roast them up, Fred Jackson tonight.
I hope it's funny.
Sounds like a threat. I do too.
I hope Fred takes it well.
I don't care about anybody else.
Just say that. I hope he takes it well.
I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find them online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistance from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, producer Jay Harris. See you tomorrow at noon, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.